recorded live.
Hello? Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only, so call in to the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are: absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The virtual talk show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is babies, birth control, and breakups. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot and your family physician for the evening. But more on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine, too. But please try to hang on until the end, because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. What type of birth control are y'all using? What are y'all using for birth control?
Rhythm.
The rhythm method? AKA pulling and praying?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What do you say? Somebody else?
The withdrawal method.
Yeah, that's the rhythm.
So you using the rhythm method too, B-Town?
There it is.
Wow, y'all boys dangerous. Y'all must have y'all must be faithful. Anybody else? Got two for the rhythm method, aka pulling and praying. Anybody else?
Well, anybody got small kids? I'm probably using the kids as birth control.
Yeah, say that. Well, anybody else, what are y'all using for birth control? Anybody? Is anybody practicing involuntary celibacy as a form of birth control? Y'all will get that one tomorrow. Involuntary celibacy.
Magnums.
Yeah, that's what I use. I've been, my wife was on birth control, the pill, on the first 3 years of our marriage. And then ever since we had our first child, we've been using, I'm using condoms. I'm in CVS on aisle five, so that's where I'm at. But I'm surprised I didn't hear anybody say that their wife was on the pill. I just cannot believe that.
I killed that after y'all talked about how it was necessary to get them off there because it was killing their drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw.
After y'all brought that up a while back, I straight shot it down.
That's what's up. Now, whose responsibility should it be when it comes to birth control in a marriage? The man or the woman?
Joint.
Joint?
Yeah, I say it's a joint.
It should be joint, but it's more on the man.
Okay.
It should
Why
be more on the man. But if you let a man do what he wants, then he gonna do what he do.
So you say it should be the man. Anybody agree with that? Disagree?
I say it should be joint because it takes two people to lay down. It'll take two people to protect themselves.
Yeah, but it only takes one to shoot a load.
Yeah, but you know, you got to shoot it until it catches, man.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Responsibility of birth control in a marriage, the man or the woman? Both. I got a chatter that said both. I say both, too, because I think it's a joint. It's something, you know, definitely joint. Yeah, it's got to be discussed, as one of the chatters said. Do y'all think, going back to the birth control pill, do y'all think that her being on the pill can potentially lead to divorce? And why I say that is, let me give you some texture to what I'm talking about. Research shows that taking birth control pills may mask the signals that draw the sexes together. And we know that much of the attraction between the sexes is chemistry. And studies suggest that when women use birth control pills, it disrupts some of these chemical signals, affecting their attractiveness to men and women's own preferences for a romantic partner.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of man a woman is drawn to is known to change during her monthly cycle. For instance, when a woman is fertile, she may look for a man with more masculine features. Taking the pill or some other type of hormonal contraceptive upends this natural dynamic, making less masculine men more attractive. So think about the metrosexual man. So I probably got, you know, the metrosexual men on the line. I got them nervous, and they're probably biting their freshly manicured nails right now. But in any case, natural preferences get wiped out when a woman is on hormonal birth control and can change who a woman is physically attracted to. And they say it's like seductive science. You know, what happens to a woman during her most fertile days? Her voice becomes higher pitch. Men are more attentive to her, with behavior ranging from thoughtful to jealous. Her scent becomes more attractive to men. Her social behavior changes, including increased flirting. She tries to look more attractive and may choose more revealing or tighter clothing. And if she is with a less masculine man, she may feel less attracted to him during those fertile times. And, you know, we talked many times before about how a woman's libido and the mood sours when she's on the pill. But researchers speculate that with women with less masculine men may become less interested in their men when they get off of birth control, which then contributes to relationship dissatisfaction and could prompt some women to actually stray. So I hope none of y'all met your wife when she was on the pill, because you might have a problem when she gets off. Because she might, you know, look for a more masculine man where it was masked when she was attracted to you. So somebody said, one of the chatters said, yeah, you might want to keep her on the pill forever then. But a 2010 study found that women with less masculine men reported an increased attraction for other men during their fertile phase, and women partnered with traditionally masculine men didn't have those urges. So what are your thoughts on that, the whole dynamic of the birth control pill changing the attractiveness of the man that she chooses? What are your thoughts on that? Have you heard about it, or is this the first you've heard about it? What do y'all think about that?
I think it's the first I've heard about it, but, you know, it could make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could make sense, but I'm hoping that it wasn't, you know, the attractiveness wasn't all physical in the beginning while they were on, you know, the pill. Hopefully it was a lot more than that.
Hmm. That's a good word.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so hopefully, you know, you know, her, you know, whoever it was, our wives would still be the same person, just, you know, more geared towards us because of the change, and not towards somebody else.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Anybody ever heard of this, how the pill may affect her attractiveness towards you? Anybody? But also, when women are ovulating, they're also interested and they're particularly attuned to gene diversity. And that simply means that they're more attracted to men that have better genes to produce children. And women who are partnered with men with whom they share the least genetic diversity, they've also reported being less sexually responsive to their men. And so, I mean, even when it comes to choosing a partner to have children with, the pill kind of warps that as well. But, and y'all say, none of y'all have ladies on the pill, but I'm sure she was at some point. Did y'all discuss, you know, prior to her getting off, did y'all ever discuss how long she was going to be on the pill when she was on it?
Well, for me, it was medical, so it was messing my wife up.
Okay.
So it was just a no question once the doc said, you know, these pills are messing your hormones up and getting fibroids and all this stuff. It's like, all right, time to get off.
Yeah, guest three said they discussed it before marriage because his wife has a heart condition. But anybody else, did y'all discuss how long she was going to be on the pill? Was that a conversation you had? No. So nobody discussed that but the guest. So what are y'all waiting for to get your vasectomy? We talked about this before. What are you exactly waiting for to get your vasectomy? One of the guests has said he had a vasectomy 14 years ago.
Brett.
Done deal. What do you say, P-Town?
Brett.
What? Prayer?
Prayer, man.
So what are you waiting for?
Yeah, I gotta have the guts to do it, to be honest with you. I'm just going to be real with you.
I'm there too. I'm the same place. I ain't got the guts to do it.
I need prayer to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Or the consultation. I'm just being honest, man.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I'm with him on that. I'm with him on that.
So it's like, you know, it's got to be done, but you kind of just, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next month.
We should all make it a group.
I'm scared to call myself a punk on that. It's the easiest, cheapest method, but I'm just scared to go.
Yeah, Tony said we should all make a group trip.
Yeah, an outing. Yeah.
That's good words. But did y'all, somebody got a lot of background noise, but do y'all have the conversation about whether y'all were going to have children or not? Did y'all ever have that conversation? Whether you're going to even have children or not?
Yeah, we did. In the parting stage.
Yeah, did you agree on how many children?
Well, at first she wanted five. And we narrowed it down to three. And then once we had one and two, a boy and a girl, we was like, we done.
So the number was dependent on the sex of the kids?
I believe so.
Okay, good words. Anybody else? So nobody else had the conversation about how many kids y'all were going to have?
No, but I bet you there's folks on the phone that know somebody that got all girls and said, well, we're going to keep going until I get my boy.
Yeah, not me. I got two girls, and my wife and I did have the conversation before we got married, and we had settled on three, and it was not dependent on the sex. But we, you know, we definitely did talk about it. But I'm surprised none of y'all have talked about it beforehand, because I would think that's an important conversation to have, like how many kids you're gonna have.
Well, I did it, man. That was mine. I wanted a son. So,
yeah.
You know, we were going, and since she wanted five kids anyway, I was like, all right, if we have to make the choice.
Well, what if you're in the case where one person wants a child and the other one doesn't? Then what?
Well, in the court stage, then it depends on, you're going to have to compromise that.
Uh-huh.
Because that's going to be an effect later. If you agree up front and then somebody's going to bring it back in your face later on.
Do you think the woman always has the final say?
I would hope not.
You would hope not? Why not?
I mean, she should have the final say on it. I mean, I think it needs to be a joint say, and it shouldn't be a final. It should be a joint say. But I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Hopefully you've had a discussion about that in some capacity.
Right.
Because if you haven't, that's definitely, that can get dicey. Because I can tell you right now, for me, I only got one. It's shutting down at two. That's a wrap. It's a wrap. But I know that's one of the things that my wife and I have talked about. Now, she keeps trying to throw out there, you know, oh, maybe three. But I'm just like, come on, man. You know, we've agreed on that, and this is what we're going to do. But you, it should be a joint say. I mean, we talked about it multiple times. I mean, I'm an only child, so to, you know, go to two-plus wife, three additional people, that's a lot for me.
Yeah, because it was you and your mom.
That was it. It was just me and my mom. So to go to that many people, that's a lot. Whereas it was her and her, you know, both parents there, and then she had a sister, so she's looking to keep adding, and, you know, we had that conversation and worked through it. But hopefully it's joint, man.
Yeah, good words, good words. Has anybody ever met a woman that did not want kids of her own?
Yes, one of my boys' wives does not want kids of her own, but here's the trippy part. She doesn't want to have kids of her own, but she wants to adopt.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they're white, and they want to adopt a kid from Africa.
Okay.
So it's an odd dynamic, you know, when I sit there and I think about it, because she doesn't want to have kids of her own, and he's kind of just giving into it. He's not fighting it.
Why doesn't she want to, is there medical reasons, or is,
No, it's not medical reasons at all. They're both very capable of having.
Don't want to go through that change.
I think that part is they don't want to do. I think she has body issues.
Okay.
So for her to go through that process, I think it's going to be rough.
So it is related to health, you know, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could be a part of it, but it's really odd though, you know, because they've been married now for what, about 4 or 5 years, and you know, they've been trying to adopt this child now for, I want to say, at least 3 years. And I keep saying, well, why don't you just go the natural way and just have a baby?
Okay.
No, but they don't want to do that. She wants to adopt, and she's holding firm, and she's not having a baby the natural way. She's not doing it.
Mm.
And he's, yeah. It couldn't be me. It couldn't be me. But I don't know if they ever talked about that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, Rodney, I had my phone on mute earlier. I really couldn't address to your question that you asked earlier, but I'm good now. Yeah, we had a talk. My wife and I had a talk prior to getting married, and we're definitely not having any children because I've got two from a previous marriage, and she's got one of her own. So, you know, it was discussed beforehand. We were both on the same page. No new kids. We're going to party. We're going to travel. We're going to do all the things that, you know, we want to do to have fun without, you know, worrying about daycare and the babysitter and all those things. So it kind of worked out for the both of us.
So definitely not on the table.
It's not on the table. Not on the table. At all. You know, so, and that puts more pressure on me to get a vasectomy because I don't do abortions. So
right,
if there's
right.
a slip up, I'm done.
Oh man. But what if you know, what should you have children based on whether you can afford them or not?
No. Mm-mm. I don't
no.
think so.
Okay, why not?
I mean, you know, I mean, you know, your first time my first house, you know,
hey, you're breaking up, sir. Can you repeat that? Okay.
Can you hear me?
No. No. Yeah, we can't hear you.
Right, hold on.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You can?
Yeah,
oh,
go ahead.
Well, you have to make it work. If you want to have a child, you have to make it work, just like anything. You know, people get hit with the economy. They don't run out. They figure a way to make it work. If your wife wants to have a child, if you want to have a child, you don't say, well, we can't afford a child. And it may sound crazy, but you find a way to make it work. I mean, that's your family. Just like in any other given situation, you lose your job, you're not going to abandon your family. You're going to figure out how to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of times people wait. Say, well, we're not ready, we're not financially stable yet, and we need this and we need that. And then by the time you're ready, you're 40, and you're old, raising these young kids. I think
right.
it's very important to get to grow up with your children.
How old is too old to be having kids? What do you think is the age on that? Is it 40?
I would say 40. I would say definitely 40.
42, man, because you got to start. You got to do that basic deductive reasoning and say, when I'm 60, 61, I'm going to be trying to move somebody into a dorm? What?
Yeah, that might
I mean,
be
just
problem.
Just that math is just crazy. Because I remember, you guys remember dorms and stairs and parking at the curb and trying to walk all, I mean, that, at 60? Man, you got to shut that down. You got to shut that down. I sure we're talking about vasectomies at some point, because you got to shut it down.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get there, but, I mean, you are right. You're thinking about high school graduation. You know, you 65 with an 18-year-old walking across the stage, you know. So, but I think going back to the question I had about whether you can afford them or not, I was that guy that we were married. Me and my wife were married 3 years, and we had bought the house. You know, big old house, and it was just me and her. And it was just time for us to have a child. I mean, it was just like a natural progression. And, you know, we absolutely agreed. And, you know, y'all know me. I count every dime. So I know I was like, yeah, you know, it's financially feasible right now. You know, after we got in the house, there was no reason. It was nothing stopping us anymore before. We could say, oh, you know, we don't have the space. We don't have the yard or whatever the case may be. And, then when my oldest turned 3, my wife wanted another one, and I told her no because it was not financially feasible to have another one, you know, right behind, you know, a 3-year-old and an infant. So I told her, I was like, give me a year. And thankfully, a year came around, got a promotion at the job, more money, you know. So again, when I had my second one, it was financially feasible to have another one. Now, today, May 31st, 2011, we're talking about number 3. And as I said before, I count every dime. And before I had both of my first kids, it was financially, I had the money and everything was right. But with this third one, I honestly don't have the money. And I think it's somebody said it first, you know, on the chat line. So it's a leap of faith, and it's literally a leap of faith for me because I'm looking at, you know, my numbers, and I'm just like, and my wife knows this. We've talked about this. I'm like, yo, I don't know how we're going to do this because we're going to be short. But I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm not like, you know, should I do it, should I not? I think I'm in y'all's lane, where it's like one of those things where you just figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to. You know, and I know that, you know, God's going to provide. You know, so I'm not really worried about it. But
yeah,
before,
what did it take for you to get to that point, though?
Which point?
To believe that I'm not going to worry about it, God's going to provide.
It took a lot, and that's a great question because how it all came about was I got two girls. I got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old daughter, and literally I was just joking around, you know, probably maybe about a year and a half ago, whatever, year and some change. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm about to go get that vasectomy. And the wife looked at me, she's like, no, you're not. I want another child. I'm like, huh? Because I'm thinking we can't, you know, we both know we can't afford another child, so we wasn't going. And with everything, how everything was going, it didn't look like we were going to ever be able to afford, you know, another child. So I was done. But it took some... it took some deep conversations, but finally, you know, I did get confirmation that I needed to step out on faith, and because it was all about, I was worried about what I could provide and what we could provide, but I wasn't looking as God as the ultimate provider. Like, I was looking to my resources. So, but I mean, to answer your question, brother, it was a, you know, a lot of soul searching. But right now I have no, I don't even care, you know, whereas before I would be like, man, you know, how am I going to afford this $1,000 a month daycare payment when I ain't got the money? But now I don't even worry about it. I know that he's going to make a way because I know that he gave me confirmation that that's what we should do, period.
But think about it. It's 9 months away before you have the baby, right? So
yep.
He's making the way so you can have a healthy baby in 9 months. And
yep.
Then you're going to have 3 months before the wife goes back to work.
Yep.
In that time, the way you work, it's time for another raise. Right?
Yep, pretty much.
So the money's already there waiting on you. So what you waiting on? I mean, it's already provided the way.
You say
you
that.
Much
yeah.
About the situation as what I'm saying is don't let money stop your family from growing.
Right.
That's just my recommendation.
Yeah, and it hasn't, but before it did. Go ahead, brother.
And I can definitely understand, you know, the hesitation that Rodney is speaking of. I have, you know, 8 and a 7-year-old. You know what I'm saying? They're close in age, so at that time, you're paying daycare for two kids at one time. And that racks up to be close to $1,000 a month. And honestly, that played a major part in the fact whether we were going to have, you know, any more kids. And we always talked about the only time that we would have kids again is if our kids were out of daycare and they were at school. And we kind of talk about it ever so often. But I can honestly say, you know, we don't use any contraceptive, and she's not on birth control. And like I said, it's been 7 years since we've had any type of scare, pregnancy scares, or anything like that. And I'm not saying that we wouldn't welcome another baby. Like you said, you just got to do a lot of soul searching. At the same time, you want to be able to provide your already established family the means to live.
Yeah.
And honestly, kind of thinking about it, I mean, you see it every day, you know, kids just, you know, I can say kids and young adults going out and just getting pregnant without the thought of how they're going to actually take care of it. You know what I mean? Take care of the kids. The next thing you know, you got another family, another single mother, another single father, whatever, and their kids are in the system. They're in that welfare system. So we honestly sit back and we got to think, isn't fair to the already established family that we have, that we, you know, have another addition. You know what I mean? There's ways.
I think that's a good point right there, because you got to think about the quality of life and the opportunities for the existing family members. You know, because when you start thinking about it and you're talking about 3, 4, 5 kids or whatever, I mean, your kid's not going to be able to go to camps unless you're balling. I mean, unless you like, I mean, both of y'all are anesthesiologists or something.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no way that you are going to be able to get your children to camps, take advantage of opportunities, because you're not going to be able to afford it. You know, if you have a boat or you got a lake house or you got a condo somewhere or a beach home, I mean, you got to probably start to think about how you going to have to unload that in order to have more money in your pocket, which then is going to prevent the opportunities that would be there if you only had, like, one or two kids. I mean, so I understand wanting to grow and have a big family, but wow. I mean, just if you – I just put it in a simple term. Just think about college times 4.
I mean that's a good point, because you.
I mean, that's just the easiest way to look at it. I mean, essentially, college by the time my writer says we got one child, 8. By the time his child is going to college, it's like buying a mid-sized car, $18,000 to $22,000 a year, every year for 4 years, and you can do that 3 times.
So, I mean
that's all I'm saying. That's one of the ways to look at it, where you just start to say, yeah, you know what? Wow. I mean, retirement at 59, you can X that out. That ain't happening. Retirement at 65, you can mark that out. That ain't happening. You're going to be working until you die. And not to mention that you got, if you have all girls, how many weddings you paying for?
I got two weddings right now. Go ahead, Devon.
There's all good points. You know what I mean? You just kind of got to look at that. And we're sitting on this call called Head of Household. You know, some of us on this phone right now kind of struggle with, you know, our finances and everything, and kind of wonder how we're going to provide for the family that's already established.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you just kind of sitting back as a man, it's like, wow, if it's difficult, you know, for the things that we're doing right now as a family, how much more difficult would it be? Because daycare payments are going up. They're not getting any cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. Medical bills, you know, look at our country right now. We're in such a turmoil on how our health plans are going to be. You know, who knows what this, you know what I mean? Who knows what we're going to be in the next 5 years as far as health care coverage and things like that. It's a lot of things you got to look at. You know, God blesses us with healthy children. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know what I mean? I don't shy away from the fact that, you know, my wife and I have the chance to get pregnant every time we are intimate with each other. Don't shy away from it. At the same time, after that, you know, conception is made, then comes the thought process. We're happy, we're blissful, and everything like that. But now, you know, we're looking at receipts.
Yeah.
We're looking at how many times we can go out. We're looking to see if we have to actually downsize in a house, not get a bigger house, but downsize. Because now you got to factor in the fact that you have – Your baby is going to cost you some money. So, I mean, like I said, we talk about it all the time. We have the conversations. I tell my wife all the time, somebody else's baby is a form of birth control, because we get into that season where we're like, wow, we want another baby. So precious, so beautiful, so clean. You got that the smell of a baby. You know, the thought of having a baby around. But those babies get older. So all we do is go babysit our friend's baby. I'm like, you know what? There it is. A couple bottles here and there, a couple diaper changes. The baby's waking up in 2 hours. Nah, we good.
Yeah, say that. But I think that's you're hitting on something else too, brother, that we forget to add into the equation, and that's the time. You know, because I know that, you know, my wife's a school teacher, so it's not a lot of, I have to do, you know, thankfully my job, like when I'm off the clock, you know, I might answer the phone, or, you know, here and there, but, you know, she literally has like stuff she needs to do. So a lot of the stuff, like I have to pick up the slack because, you know, she has stuff to do. So I get them ready for bed and, you know, all that stuff, you know, on a nightly basis, just so it helps the flow of the house better. And, you know, literally, that was my thing, too, is about I don't have time to be doing all this stuff. You got to help me out, you know, with some of these household responsibilities that absolutely need to be done.
And we had that conversation because, you know, I was like, you need to cut back on that stuff you're doing at work, because it was stuff she was required to do as part of her job, and then it was stuff she was volunteering for. You know, so it was some stuff where I was like, you need to cut back because I need your help at home. So, you know, not only the financial piece, you know, it was the time. I was like, I'm like drowning over here with all this homework and just everything we got to do. But, you know, but thankfully it's ironed out now. She's relaxed some of her responsibilities, and going forward, it's going to be better, you know, for us, because she doesn't have those responsibilities at work like she did when she's talking about, yeah, I want another child, and I just wasn't seeing it. But do you really have to have children? Do you really have to have children? I mean, you're married, you know. Do you have to have children?
As big as my family is, it's almost like my family's legacy, just to keep, I mean, to have, you know, kids in the family. I mean, we grow up, you know, we have cousins upon cousins. And I mean, I just come from a big family.
Yeah.
You know, it almost seems, you know, it almost seems natural to my family, you know what I mean, to have kids. So, just kind of, you know, growing up, you know, Ronnie, the way that we did and everything, I didn't ever think that I would be a father at 19, but I knew, you know, not really having a father in my household, when I had my first child, I was like, man, I'm going to be the best dad that, you know what I mean, that this world has possibly ever seen. You know what I'm saying? And that's the mentality that I had. And having after, you know, my first daughter and then, you know, my other two kids after that, it's like, man, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. So you were expected to have some kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we also, I mean, you got to think about, too. I mean, you say you got a little boy. I mean, he can keep your line going, you know, your family name. You know, whereas right now I got two daughters, and as me and Peyton were talking about before the show, I could have another daughter. So, you know, our name could be gone because it's just me and my brother, and, you know, it's a possibility that he could, you know, he's got one, you know, son that could keep the line going, but, you know, literally it's, our family name could literally die out when these little ladies get married. And I don't know if y'all think about that, but, you know, I'll ask it again. You know, I'll throw it back out there. Do you have to have kids? Do you really have to have children? That's the question.
I don't know if it's that you have to. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion, when I see grown men without them, mm-hmm. I feel as though that it's so interesting. I feel irresponsible, but, you know, the fact that you're running from responsibility, it's good. Safety is good. I mean, you know, that's what we do. And, you know, I just, you know, people that don't want to have a wife and have a family, I don't understand it. You know, and it could be me, you know, being raised that way throughout my whole life around family members who've had kids and, you know, legacy and things like that. But I think that it's a necessity to have a family with children.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. Is having stepchildren the same as having biological children?
Well, it's not going to be the same, but it's you still have a family.
Right.
There's still some sort of legacy there. You know what I mean? You're still doing your responsibilities as a man. I think every man's responsibility is to have a family. If you want to be single until you're 50 or 60 or 90 years old, you know, that's up to you. But that's not what the masses are doing.
Right. Anybody else? Is having children equivalent to having biological children? Is that similar enough for you? No, yes. Ideally, how many children is enough? How many children is enough?
Two.
Is that Peyton's rule?
Or Dylan, I'm not.
Hmm?
I guess that goes with, you know, for each his own. I mean, some folks want a lot of kids.
Yeah, but the difference is when you start getting like that TLC family, the Duggars, where you got like 22 kids, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you in that Papa just dropping it in, now we got, you know, I think that's ridiculous. But in the heyday, they didn't have birth control, so.
Yeah.
But this ain't the heyday.
But, yeah, I don't think you're going to see too many people today with 14 kids and 12 kids.
Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's like, if you have a lot of kids, it's almost like, are they having them to have them, or are they having them to get a TV show? Because, you know, John and Kate plus 8, which is now Kate plus 8, and then there's another show with the quintuplets or whatever. And, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like, all right, man, I mean, come on. Come on. And that Duggar family, those people, they want to have more kids. Like, what are they doing? They don't live on a farm.
Right.
They don't.
After they had that 19th one, that was the baby that actually was a premature baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of run, you know, as a man, you would want to sit there and think, okay, am I putting my wife at risk? But like you say, man, they still want to go full force.
Yeah, and that's just crazy. It's like, what is he thinking? I mean, he should use some common sense and be like, all right, man, okay, we've got 18 kids. We don't need to get to 25. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point? But I think honestly, like, all joking aside, I say two, but I think it is a preference. You know, what you feel like, again, is you talking with your spouse and what you feel is going to be what you like to try for. But then also you got to take in the factor, you know, health. You got to take in the factor finances. You got to take in the factor timing. You got to take in the factor a whole lot of stuff. It's not just lay up and let's do it. I mean, you know, when all of us probably think about planning and preparing for a child, it wasn't just like, let's just lay down and get it on and something happens. I mean, no, you talk about it and you decide what you're going to do and how it's going to impact your life and the decisions that you'll be making thus forth. I mean, it's not something where you just ultimately just lay down and just get after it. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, guess four said, why only two? And I know I would say that because I know they plan. Like, generally, you see family vacations, like, family of four, only $52 a night, you know. You know, but why two, brother? Why two? Why only two kids?
I say two because, honestly, the honest truth with me is I'm an only child. And for me, I just think two would be manageable. I think it would be it would allow us to be able to do everything that we need, and we'd be able to love those two kids, and that would be that. You know what I mean? I don't see the necessity for three or four. I just don't. Especially, here's the thing, especially when I can control the creation of these children or not. I mean, it's me.
Can you?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be able to control it? If I'm fertile and my wife is fertile and there's nothing wrong, it all comes down to whether or not I decide to go in with nothing or to go in with something or to shut my system down. Or to shut her system down. That's me controlling that. I don't know too many people that have gotten pregnant or whatever when they got the tubes tied or gotten a vasectomy when you make that choice. I don't. You don't ever read that. You never heard about it. You know, I challenge somebody to Google it up. I might be wrong. But the fact is that that's a choice. And the fact, I mean, you just look at it. I mean, you think about like A.C. Green. You know, remember all the years he was in the league. He had never had sex. So therefore, it was a choice. So therefore, he had no kids. I mean, that's a choice. I mean, he was in the NBA. He had the S curl going on. He was balling. He had all that. I'm sure women were coming to him left and right. But his choice was no. So you do have a choice. I mean, you really do. And even when you get married, I mean, you think about it. You said, you know, if you were voluntarily celibate or not. I mean, if you decide that you're not going to have sex with your wife, that's your choice. Now, I don't know if you're going to still be married, especially if she likes to have sex. The fact that that's a choice that prevents you from having children. And, yeah, you do have a choice. And then at other times you don't. I mean, if you're on, you know, if you are, you know, a person that's unable to have children, I mean, that's not a choice. But if you are, I mean, you do have a choice.
So what if, you know, on that point, brother, and it was a good word, what if you were shooting blanks or she couldn't conceive or have children for health reasons? Would you consider adoption, fertility drugs, in vitro, or would you just opt to not have kids at all?
I think I'd opt to not have kids at all, to be honest. And I thought about that because that honestly was one of the things, you know, when you think about it, you talk to people. You talk to your wife before you get married, but you really don't know that. I mean, when you get engaged, it's not like, hey, let's go get checked out to see, you know, before I propose to you, let's go see if you can have babies. I mean, nobody does that. Maybe some people do, but I didn't do that. I'm going to speak for me. I didn't do that.
People do that.
What's that?
I said, I don't think that people do that.
Yeah, I don't think people do that. But if that were the case and that came up, honestly, I would just ride with it the way it is. Because that would be, obviously, it was in the cards. I know that's a wild way of putting it. But it was in the cards for us not to have any kids. For whatever reason.
Okay.
I got a coworker, right? He and his wife tried to have babies, kids. They tried and tried and tried. She couldn't have it for whatever reason. They tried to adopt. They got very close to adopting, and then something would fall through. Then they tried the whole surrogate mother thing where it's like, you know, have the baby and give it to them. And it came out the last time the girl was teenage. She was a teenage in college. She got pregnant. She was pregnant for 8 months. And then she had the baby. She had signed all the paperwork, legal documents, everything to give this child up. Once the baby was born, she changed her mind. And that devastated, you know, my coworker and his wife.
Wow.
But while they were going through that, they were going through the fertilization clinic, and they were putting money into that. To make a long story short, that got very costly, too. A lot of money. So, you know, they put, I think they, and then doctor said,
we got for the shower now.
Two eggs, versus two eggs, just in case. And now the wife is pregnant with twice. So, you know, it all depends on how badly you want to have kids, but some people will do it by any means necessary. If you truly want to have kids, you'll do it by any means necessary.
Good words. Is anybody currently trying to conceive right now that they know of? No. But, I mean, back to, you know, how many children is enough. I mean, when you think about it, living in this crazy, crazy world in which we live, does the more children you have mean the more you're going to worry? And why I say that is that because I know when I had my one child, when it was just her, that was all I was worried about. Okay, you know, she's at school, you know. Whereas now I got two, and it's like double your worry. I mean, it's not, I don't know if worry is the right word, but concern. And as they get older, as they get out in the world, as they go to college, you know, et cetera, that's two, three, four. That's, you're going to be concerned about all of those children, you know, whereas if you just had one or none, so my question is, does the more children you have mean the more you worry?
Yes, indeed.
Speak on it, brother. I knew I was hitting somebody's street.
I don't know, man. I mean, they're your babies. You know, as a man of household, you're supposed to protect your babies, and you know mama's going to protect her babies.
Yeah.
And you want to, you know, your main concern is raising them the right way. And raising them the right way means, you know, being protective of them, making sure that they don't do the wrong things. Because we know how people may, you know, say one thing but do another, which, you know, they'll end up getting in trouble.
I know what was weird for me is that when my wife was pregnant with our second, like, I absolutely knew she was having a baby, no question about it. Went to all the appointments, and, you know, we knew we were having a second child. But it hit me like a ton of bricks when the baby came out, and I'm putting her in a car seat, and I'm just like, man, I'm thinking about my other child who was, you know, safe and sound and everything, but she was 50 miles away or whatever, and I'm at the hospital with the other baby. But it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I didn't even realize the magnitude of the mental game that you have when you have more than one child. That's what P-Town was talking about. I mean, because they are your kids, and the whole time going to the appointments, we're looking at the sonogram, no question we were going to have a second child. But until that baby came out, and I'm holding her, I'm putting her in a car seat, you know, I'm taking her out, I'm dressing her, I can't even explain. I was not mentally prepared for that. And I assumed that I was, because I was, you know, definitely part of the process from beginning to end. But when she actually came out and was out of the belly and was in my arms, I'm like, oh, this is a problem. Because, I just started thinking. I'm thinking like y'all were saying. I got weddings. I got college. I got boys. I got, you know, you just think about all these random thoughts, and it's times two now. Maybe it's just me.
I think it's not a good way to utilize your energy, worried about that kind of stuff. Because you find a way to work. Period. You'll find a way.
Yeah.
You know, okay, yeah, they're going to have a boyfriend. Okay, you'll deal with it when it happens. They're going to get married. You'll deal with it when it happens. You know, they're going to get divorced. You'll deal with it when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, they may not get a good grade in school. They may do whatever. You have to be, as long as, just like anything else, like, as long as you show up, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Good words. Do y'all think that it's okay for a couple to plan and purposely have children outside of wedlock? You think it's okay for a couple to plan and purposely have children outside of wedlock?
Halle Berry did.
Halle Berry sure did. Would you get her pregnant if she wanted you to, with no commitment?
Woo!
I mean, think about it, fellas. Now, Halle, she was looking for, now T-Hawk, he talked about the surrogate dad, but or the surrogate mother, but Halle was looking for a surrogate dad, and that was absolutely her motive. She didn't want to get married. She had done that, marriage, divorce, or whatever. But if Halle, made the proposition that she just wanted you to impregnate her and no commitment, she was going to raise the baby, she got money and all that stuff, would you do it?
That is such an unfair question.
Thank you.
Okay, why is that unfair, brother?
Come on, man.
Why is it unfair? Speak on it, brother. Why is that an unfair question?
Because that's how. Who else is listening to this?
Well, my wife is standing right here.
Hey, look at you.
What if it was a booger tonight?
Yeah, go ahead, Raphael.
You got to get people in trouble tonight, man.
I'm just saying. I mean, I've told y'all before. Halle Berry. Yeah, I mean, she looks nice, but Halle is not, I mean, she's got some mental issues.
Yeah, but you said no strings attached? No, look, I will stand in the gap for all you men who are married. I'm single, and I'm ready to take on that challenge. And I will do it for you guys.
You take one for the team, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But I'm sure.
Oh, man. That is funny. So, y'all, how many of y'all will actually do that if Halle said, I just want a baby with you? You can roll out after after we're done. I mean, y'all would literally do that.
Nah, I wouldn't.
Thank you, brother. Speak on it, T-Hawk. Talk to him, brother. Why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, I'm in a different place now, man. You know what I mean? It's... if I'm going to have a baby, it's going to be with my wife. Halle Berry is fine, though.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Yeah. Halle Berry is fine, though. Don't get me wrong.
Showing up at the job talking about child support.
Yeah.
Filming everything. Just, I want to see the baby.
Yeah. So most of y'all saying, yeah, because it's Halle. Most of y'all are saying yeah. And I ask you this. Would you support your daughter if she wanted to do the same thing? If she was out and just wanted Joe Blow to get her pregnant and no commitment? I mean, would you support your daughter in that situation?
Nope.
I got to be dead in the ground for about 20 years.
I don't really understand. I mean, that's still your daughter. No matter what decision she makes, you still, I mean, what you going to do, disown her?
I definitely disown her.
I think that the question is, I understand where it's going and what it is you're trying to ask, but the big difference is that you're talking in context about us looking at our children and us looking at a grown woman who's had experience, who's in fact been married, who's now rejected the institution of marriage and long-term committed relationships between the opposite sex. Now, if you're talking about our children who we're raising probably to value some of those things and, of course, in the hopes that they're going to have successful long-term relationships or successful marriages, then, of course, we wouldn't want our daughter to, who's, like, let's say she's married, to go out and try to, you know, procreate with somebody else. Or if she's single, you know, and she's young or something like that, to just go out and try to get pregnant for the sake of having a kid. Now, you know, if I'm 80 years old, and my daughter is, or let's say, like, I'm 70 years old, and my daughter is 34, and she, or 37, how old will she be? Yeah, 37 years old, and she still ain't married, but she really wants to have kids, and she can't adopt or something like that. She's thinking about getting pregnant, wants to go to a sperm bank or something like that. I can't say that, you know, that I'm going to try to stop her, because it's at that point, it really is going to be her choice. Now, I would advise her against it. I would advise her to probably continue to go through the route of adoption because of how many kids need homes, and it would need a loving parent who's willing to give that love and affection rather than go out and do something with somebody and take some risk, because you never know. You never know. But, you know, so I think that if you were to compare apples to apples, yeah, you know, I guess if my daughter had grown up and became a very successful, we'll say self-employed business person, businesswoman, and she had failed at marriage, and she still wanted to have kids, and her clock was running out, and she wasn't having success adopting or something like that and wanted to have kids, well, then, you know, I would have to, you know, this decision is yours. At that point, you know, I don't feel like I'm in a position to say, yes, you can do this, and no, you can't do that, and I won't get behind you. She's my daughter no matter what, and I'm going to stand behind her, and I'm going to love her, and I'm going to support her the best I can. I certainly wouldn't disown her for doing it. I might not be too pleased.
Right.
But.
Mm-hmm.
What about your son? If you had a son that was propositioned by a lady, maybe it's Hallie, I don't know. But would you support your son the same way? Say, yeah, go ahead and hit that.
Well,
no,
how much
no
are his outstanding
attached?
Student loans?
Say again?
I said, how much are his outstanding student loans? I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would be a factor.
No. Proposition for parenthood. Now that you see that can be touchy in that case. But again, I guess if it's I don't know, maybe if it's a situation of an older person or blah 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 blah, I would advise a woman to go to a sperm bank rather than to try to collect sperm from an individual. Because an individual might come back later and have ties or might wonder about kids and want to get with, and that can be kind of weird, especially if you've raised the child to think something else. And if you have, then that can be a shock to the child's system. It could be very dangerous just to go out there and have a kid with a random person.
Yeah, but why is it, why do y'all think it's easier for a man to agree to impregnate a woman than it is for a man to agree to marry a woman? I mean, both are supposed to be lifetime commitments. I mean, you're having a child, that's a lifetime commitment. And, of course, having a, you know, getting married is a lifetime commitment. But, and I'll give you an example, quick example. 33-year-old Chad Ochocinco. After just 4 months of dating Evelyn Lozado, the chick from Basketball Wives, they are planning, they're determined to have a baby boy, possibly twin baby boys via in vitro. And Chad already has 4 kids with 3 women, 3 different women.
Wow.
And, you know, but him and this new lady, they were dating 4 months, and he put the ring on and everything. but they've already gone to a specialist to discuss the process. You know, and she's quoted as saying, you know, IVF, in vitro fertilization, that's the norm in Hollywood. I mean, you look at J-Lo, who is 39 and just had twins. Mariah Carey, 41 and just had twins. You know, probably that wasn't a normal pregnancy. You know, they probably had some additional help. But bottom line, she said they plan to get married like next May or next June. And she said there's a good chance that they're, you know, they can get pregnant before the wedding. And she said, I'm not on birth control. If it happens, it happens. But if we can plan it, I'd rather go that route. So, I mean, why is it easier for a man to agree? I mean, Chad has no problem going to through the steps to impregnate this woman but not walk her down the aisle. Why is that easier in today's society to do that?
I don't think that that's a fair analogy of today's society.
Okay.
I think that's what you're talking about is someone who has a lot of money and does strange things. The average baby daddy, probably if he had his choice, wouldn't be a baby's daddy. But something happened along the way. I don't think men set out to get a single woman pregnant.
That's right.
I don't
Not
think
true.
Anybody sets that's out to pay child support and be stuck in the system with some random girl and you've 18 years and you're up your life paying child support. I just don't.
Hey, Tony, let me interject.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck. Go ahead.
2 points. First of all, I have a friend, which I won't call his name, but he has 4 kids now with the 5th on the way. And he told me he's not married, you know, has no plans to be, but he told me he likes having kids.
Mm.
But he's not taking care of them. That's what that means. Say it again. That means he's not financially supporting them. No, to make a statement like that. He ain't locked up. He was locked up. He likes going out just making babies and not being committed to the women. He's not financially supporting them.
But he just told me. He said he likes having kids. Now, you know. Why he's like that, I don't know, but, he doesn't. So I don't know. Some men like that. But to get back to the first point, it's funny you guys mentioned that because I actually had a woman to approach me like that. Telling me, this is wild. This is a friend I knew. We were not sexually involved in anything. We were just cool, right? So eventually she got married. And like a year into the marriage, she found out that her husband he got the surgery. In other words, he couldn't have. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't tell her that. She wanted another baby. Yeah. She approached me. I thought she was joking. She approached me and was like, I have a proposition for you. I was like, okay, cool. You know, she was like, I want you. She was like, I want another baby. My husband just came to me and said he cannot have no more kids. He didn't tell me this before he got married. She threatened to divorce him. And he said, baby, you know, whatever you have to do to not divorce me, do it. She came to me and asked me to have her kid, and she said, and my husband is cool with it.
Wow.
Now, this is the ill part, though. I said, well, how do you plan on, what do you want? You know, you want me to hit a cup or, you know what I'm saying?
How are we going to do this?
She was like, she said, no, we're going to do it the regular way.
Wow.
I was like, and your husband is cool with this? She said, yeah, because he doesn't want me to leave him.
How many times did you hit it?
I didn't, because it messed me up so bad. I was like, she is serious. And she, of course, I said no, you know, because I don't want, you know, I'm not a sperm machine. You see what I'm saying? And, I mean, it was just like, you know, just get me pregnant. That's all you got to do.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it really, and she was dead serious because she was like, well, you know, you're a musician and all this. And then I kind of felt like, you know, like I was just a machine in a factory. You know, It just really messed me up. So,
and the kid will come out with some musical talents.
Exactly. And I was like,
are you friends?
Yeah. Now, ironically, the guy she married, he's a musician. Well, they're not married anymore. They got divorced. But anyway, I didn't go through with it, of course. But, I mean, it just really messed me up. So I've actually been in that situation, and my initial thought was, I'm not going to, you know, just give you a kid because my fatherly instincts are going to want to kick in. So it's, I mean, it does happen. I mean, it does happen, but, you know, it was just.
But did you
really
think about it?
Oh, of course I thought about it. Now, you know,
What did she look like, Halle Berry?
After she got the divorce, you know, things did go down, but, you know what I'm saying, that was before I got back and everything, but, you know, but, I mean, just to let you guys, I mean, that stuff does
happen. It happens.
Yes,
that's why I asked it, because I know it happens. It's not just the celebs. It's right down here on your block.
Yes.
Mm.
So that's very real. That some women will go to any extremes to get pregnant. Well, what about women that do it to trap men, though?
Yeah. That happened more than you know.
Yeah.
But, Chuck, you brought up a good point. And I want to ask this question. You know, what if you've had that vasectomy and you get remarried, like in the dude's case, and you're pretty, you know, young thing, wants to have some children with you? Would you consider getting your vasectomy reversed?
I didn't even know you could get it reversed.
Yes, you
yeah,
can.
I didn't
get
either.
It reversed.
Wow.
Yeah, but they're not all that successful.
Yeah, okay. In general,
yeah,
you know,
they
men
should have had that conversation before they got married.
Yeah, as long as it's not, you know, a trick, a trapment like this other guy did, that was totally wrong.
Yeah.
Because he came in with, you know, with deceit.
Yeah.
If I had had a vasectomy and then got remarried, I mean, obviously I would have told my fiance about the vasectomy well beforehand. Obviously, you got to have that children talk before you tie the knot.
Yeah,
but
right.
If somehow or another we got married after all that, and then she changes her mind, she's like, "No, I've changed my mind. I really want to have kids."
Mm-hmm.
And I decided on this vasectomy. Obviously, if I had a vasectomy, I've decided I don't want any more children. I probably wouldn't change my mind. Obviously, you know, I ain't the right guy.
Yeah, but that, I mean, you'd be surprised how often that happens, whereas, you know, during dating process, you have that conversation, oh, no, that's fine, you know, you got to say, I don't want kids, and then y'all get married, and it's like, it's quiet in the house, and she ain't got no kids, and she's like, I want that pitter-patter, I want you to go get a reversal, can you get a reverse, you know, so that changes what y'all initially agreed on.
But that's very expensive, though, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the reversal costs more than the actual process.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go to get a tattoo, take it off. The original tattoo is basic. When you try to do the removal, it's a grip.
Right.
But yeah, here's the thing. If we agreed on it and then you flip the script, and that's rough.
Yeah, I was reading an article the other day. It was an interesting post online, too. I should send it to you. But it was this lady who was calling other women out for basically being liars and bad daters. She said, women, don't complain about being single. You're single because, and one of the things that was real big, she said, you're a liar. That's part of the reason why you can't get it. You can't find a decent man because you find a guy and you're thinking about being in a relationship. And then he says, oh, no, I don't really want to be in a relationship. And you say, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm not really looking for that either. And you start sleeping with him for however long, hoping that he's eventually going to change his mind because you're just so damn good in bed. And you're not. this lady was harsh but then she said, so, you know, you can't be surprised when later on you feel like, oh, he just doesn't seem to want me. No, of course he doesn't, he told you that in the first place.
But the thing is that
what she said that really stands out is that some ladies will lie. Like, dude is right, it's, you'll tell them right up the front, no, I'm not interested, and they'll say, oh, that's okay, no, neither am I, but they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, especially if you've had something like that happen, something that you're serious about before you get married, you have to make sure that you're able to get to the heart of the issue and make sure that you are 100% without a doubt, on the same page on those things, because I would not want to end up in a marriage where, which I did end up in a marriage where 6 years later, everything that I was told 6 years prior turned out to be bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah, keep it clean.
Wow.
Pardon me.
I hear you on that one, and that's the part that I think that is the most devastating, particularly for men. It's like, when you sit down and you look to have a serious conversation, because here's the thing, women try to get you to talk about stuff all the time, really be in tune, turn the TV off, focus, blah, blah, blah. So when you give it your 100% effort and attention, and we agree on something, and then, like I've always said, you call an audible later? Man, that's not cool. That's not what we talked about.
Situations change,
but particularly if you're married, you know, you have to be cognizant of the fact that this situation isn't just your situation. It's our situation. And when you look to change things based around what we've discussed and planned, that's a problem.
Yeah, now let me flip that whole thing around. What if she had her tubes tied before y'all met and you wanted to have kids? Would you expect her to get that reverse tubal ligation?
Here's the thing. I think most men, honestly, when we agree and set our mind to something, we set our mind to something, and that's where it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if we got to do anything, we might get a dog.
I think men who say, you know, that they, if men that don't have kids, that men who say that, oh, you know, that's fine, you know, we don't have to have kids, I think they're lying. I really do, because it's nothing like, and all of y'all have children, I know, or one on the way or whatever, but, I mean, it's nothing like having your own child. I mean, you can't, I mean, it's nothing like it. So for a guy to be in a dating phase and a woman's like, actually, you know, I got a kid and I got my tubes tied, so I ain't having no more kids. Are you cool with that? And he's going to lie and say, yeah, I'm cool with that. And then get settled in the marriage. Her kid gets a little older. He ain't never had no kids. And he's like, I think I want to change my mind, you know, on that.
But what do you do at that point, though? You want to change your mind. I mean, it's still a discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to bring it up. You got to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know too many men, though, that are going to change on that, though. If that's what they said they're going to do, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Because honestly, here's the thing. I think for guys, you know, if I'm willing to make that commitment and I'm saying, okay, you know what? I don't want any kids. It's because I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about what could potentially be or what lives could be brought into this situation. I want to be with you. And I think up front, some guys just make that decision and they know what they want to do. I got a homeboys that they ain't thinking about not having no kids and they don't plan on having no kids.
Mm.
And that's really in their mind. And they're just like, I'm not doing that. That's not what I want to do. I mean, women do that too. Some women don't want to have any children. I mean, I think it's rough because you think about all the people out here that can't have children for whatever reason, and you're like, you are very capable, and you're not bringing any in the world. Wow. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
But I'm an outsider looking in. I can't make that decision or even begin to fathom the whole thought process. But at the same time, I mean, it is what it is. I just think that men will hold tight with that because they will want to be with that woman. I don't know if they would necessarily change. And more importantly, if it did become that situation where they started thinking about it, they probably bring it up. They talk to that wife about it. She would probably still hold firm to the fact that she doesn't want to have any more kids, whatever. And they just roll with it. Whereas I think women would really get almost, this could be a rough word, but annoying. You know, they would really continue to keep looking sad in the face and blah, 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 and really lay it on thick. Whereas I think a guy would just be like, yeah, well, all right, you know. Or just bounce. One of the two.
I think with women, it's deeper than that. And, you know, my wife told me that it's not like a light switch that you can turn on and turn off. And I have women all the time, like older women, they'll tell me, yeah, you know, I had three kids, but I wish I had another one. Like, it never goes away. I mean, they, you know, they're grandmamas now, but they still like, I wish, you know, I had that feeling. And it's not like a light switch, where with us, it's like, oh, no kids, light off. You know, kids, light on. I mean, it doesn't work like that for them. And I think that also they think that and you could even have kids with them already, like if you don't want to have that fifth or sixth one, you know, they think that, you know, literally there's something wrong with them. Like, you know, what's wrong with me? And it's like, what? You got four kids already. What is wrong with you? You know?
Yeah, Rodney, but at some point you have to be looking forward to life with no children.
Yep.
Yes.
At some point you have to be looking forward to doing the things that you could not do while you were raising them kids. And to keep having kids, you just prolonging that time.
Yep. You're gonna be dead and you got an 8-year-old.
did y'all, you know, speaking of that, Tony brings up a good point. What did y'all always want kids? You know, I know all of y'all got kids or
yes.
All of y'all wanted kids and what
yes.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
a given,
yeah,
man.
I
it's
did.
A given. It's a given, I think.
It was
did it matter whether they were boys or girls or did that part just, it didn't even matter. You just wanted some kids, boys, girls, or I know P-Town said he wanted a boy and a girl, and he got that, so he done. But I mean, did it matter? You know, if they were boys or girls, or are you cool with?
It didn't matter to me. I just wanted to be healthy child, and
yeah.
Essentially for me, it was just one of the big driving forces for me is I just wanted to be there and be present to love a child, because you know,
yeah.
Coming from a single parent home.
Yeah.
You know, even though the parents were married for 5 years, they got divorced 2 weeks after I was born, so it was just me and moms. You know, it was, I just wanted to be able to do that because I know what it was like to not have that.
Yeah.
And I just knew I felt like if there was anything in life I was going to be good at, I was going to be great at this.
Yeah.
I was going to be exceptional at this, and I'm going to put everything into it because, you know, I figured that everything that I've been trying to get right for in life, that will definitely position me to be an exceptional father, dad, husband, and all that stuff. So it was a given, man. It was a given. I mean, I was getting the checkups. I was going getting checked out in, like, early college to make sure that my stuff was...
Are you serious? To
make sure that when it was time, I was ready to play.
Wow. That's pretty deep, brother. That's pretty deep. I don't think anybody went to that extent, going to get checked out in college, making sure
yeah, I was
right.
Right in college.
But I mean, what about grandkids? Does anybody have grandkids? Anybody? Nobody got grandkids?
No, if I have one, then I'm going to jail.
Oh. Yeah, I got grandkids. I got five.
You got five grandkids. Okay, okay. I mean, some of y'all, you on here, some of y'all might have some great grandkids. Older, some of y'all are. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, to the guy that's... And I got a guest on here that said they got four. Oh, no, they got, they say it's a joy. But did you always want grandkids? You know, we talked about, yeah, we wanted kids, but did that go into, you know, the whole being a grandfather, that whole realm?
Always wanted to have grandkids.
Yeah, so you can spoil them and, you know, take them back to their mom and daddy.
Yeah, I could just do things with them that, you know, that, the way I look at grandkids, man, I could do things with them, the things that I truly missed out with the kids that I could do with the grandkids. See what I'm saying? Some things you want to do with your kids that you just don't really get the opportunity to do with them. You see what I'm saying? And time just keeps ticking and ticking. Next thing you know, they're grown or they're getting at that age where they're grown. And then you missed out, and then, you know, you look at it like, daggone, man, I wish I had my grandkids. You know, if I had grandkids, I could do these things with them. And then when they come, then you're able to enjoy that time with them and do those things that you wanted to do that you missed out on.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Anybody else got grandkids? Is having children hard on a marriage? And what I mean by that is, can having children ultimately lead to divorce?
I'm
going to answer the question. I do believe it can definitely be hard on marriage because, you know, I think for guys, I think for married couples, you look at it as an exciting time, but I don't think you're aware of definitely the commitment and the sharing of love that I think, I'm going to speak for me, that... that a wife gives to a child. Like, I'm, at different points, like, I'm going to be honest with you, I just felt like I'm not a priority at times. Like, and if I am, I'm the very last priority, and that's difficult.
Yeah.
So because I want to definitely be, everything we talk about, I want to be the head of household, I want to be the first priority, I want to be on that. But I get it when it comes to a woman wanting to be there for the child, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way because that's what she should be doing. She should be nurturing and loving this person for everything from, you know, changing diapers to breastfeeding to all these things in order to make sure that this life is as positive as it can be with getting a good start and development. But at the same time, you got to have that balance of recognizing, okay, baby's to bed or baby's here with grandma or whomever else. Now it's time for me to focus in on my husband. So the balance is difficult because it is one of those things where I think it creates a different dynamic. And also for men. I mean, I think ultimately for men, you know, what all, you know, happens sometimes is that, you know, you're still trying to come at it at different points. Like, it's just you and your wife, you know, and it's not. You know, and being able to chime in and add assistance to and provide additional support and do different things, you know, you got to figure that balance out. So I would say, yeah, it definitely can put an additional strain on a marriage. But when you go to the birthing classes and all that stuff, they talk about breastfeeding and getting a good latch. They talk about, you know, what you can do to help with back pains and rubbing out a back and what you can do with this, that, and the other and getting your car seat right. But there's not too many classes that really focus in on the dynamic that's going to change between you and your spouse. And even when you think about going to the church and talking to your minister and stuff like that, yeah, I mean, you delve in it somewhat, but not really. And here's the thing. I think the big piece of it is, even if you talk about it, and we all know this from having kids, most of us, those of us that have kids, you can go to every class you want to, but you really don't know until you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. I mean, and the honest truth is, like, yeah, you know, you sit there, you talk to the minister about this, that, and the other. You go to the classes and figure out how to get a good latch on the nipple for the breastfeeding and all this stuff. But until you actually sitting at your house with no nurse and you trying to get that baby to latch on, I mean, you don't know what that's about until it happens. And
yeah,
it's the same thing. I mean, all of that adds to it. So, yeah, kids, definitely. Woo! That changes that whole dynamic with regards to sometimes on a relationship and a marriage, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
And on that note, I do agree with you, and I think that one of the biggest mistakes married people make is sometimes they put their kids in front of their spouse.
Yep.
Which is
that's
backwards.
A good.
Which is backwards. You can't do that because, you know, I mean, even though, and the excuse is, okay, well, they're kids, they got nobody to take care of but me, that's my job to take care of the kids. Yes, it is. But if you take care of your spouse and you are both taking care of each other, then taking care of the kid would be no problem. But once you sacrifice your spouse's time and whatever that, you know, entails with that, then it's gonna make resentment towards the kid or towards the time being spent with the kid, which is harsh.
Yeah, because less time for the marriage.
Sure, sure. And when a husband says, man, you spend more time with me than the kid, I mean, more time with the kid than me, that's a problem.
Yep, and you should listen.
You should listen. That's a problem.
That's the beginning of the call. I mean, you know, some folks use kids as birth controls. You know, the kids are more important than the marriage.
Exactly. I mean, if you're taking your kids out to go shopping and buy them clothes and this, that, and the other, and your wife, you're not even taking your wife to the movies, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think that their children actually led to your divorce, at least partially? You think your children led to your divorce, at least partially?
Well, I know that mine did.
Okay. Speak on it, brother.
Well, I mean, I had, you know, my situation was a little different than that. Probably anybody else that's on this phone is the parents of my wife dictated, you know, my home of, you know, how we were raising these kids. You know, they made up their mind that the kids needed to be raised on the farm in the country. I said the kids needed to be raised with us. And I went back and forth, and she went with her parents. So anything outside of that created a huge argument between me and her. And, you know, the kids, you know, that they start adapting to the country. They wanted to be raised on the farm. They didn't want to be in the city. And I'm in the city. I'm working in the city, two full-time jobs. You know, and it just was real heartbreaking, but, you know, sad to say, but that's how my life went. You know, I fought with that for years until I just couldn't take it no more. And it led to my divorce. And actually, that was the grounds that I gave the judge. It wasn't because of fornication, because of adultery, because of none of that. It was because, you know, I just could not deal with that. I could not deal with coming home to a fully furnished home, you know, going in the kids' room to watch the news or whatever after coming home between jobs and sitting in an empty room. Well, not an empty room, but sitting in a fully furnished room in the kids' room, and the kids weren't there. Hmm. It's sad, but it's true.
Well, Bino, let me ask you this, and to rewind the tape all the way back, was there ever a little voice in your head that said, don't have children with this woman? Or maybe it was your mama's voice.
No, never. Okay. Never. This was like, you know, what you can call not a high school sweetheart, but somebody that I had just been with for so long that I almost felt like it was destined to have kids with this woman.
Hmm. Wow.
It's just sad. I mean, you know, I have never heard a story like this, and this is just true talk right here. And I went through it, and it was painful. It was, a painful time in my life that I went through that. And, I mean, I fought to the point where, I actually, got aggressive and went and took the kids, bought the kids up, went to work, you know, and then one day her parents came up and took the kids. I got to go all the way back out of town to get these kids. You know, the back and forth thing, and I just felt like I told the judge the truth. It had nothing to do with her, worrying about her cheating on me. It had nothing to do with this type of stuff. It's just that I cannot deal with this no more. This stress was killing me, and I regret that. Maybe I should have hung in there a little stronger, because I know that today, even today, she still calls me her husband today, and we're not even married. And I regret that I just could not deal with the pressure of it, and I divorced her. And I felt like maybe I should have hung in there and maybe, worked it out. I don't know, but I don't even try to baffle my mind now. I've been divorced for 11 years. I'm content with my life like it is right now. She's my best friend. My first wife is my best friend. We all take vacations together, and they're both my best friends. But I just know that for that period of time, that created a divorce for my life, a divorce that I did not want to happen, but I couldn't take it no more.
Wow, that's a good word.
You think it was a manhood thing? You think your manhood was bruised a little bit when you got kids and you were ready to raise them and then they were gone?
Oh, it was destroyed. It was destroyed. My 16-year-old daughter, I delivered her because we couldn't get to the hospital in the wintertime in January.
Wow.
So you know how painful that is to me.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Through all them 9 months of, all the stress and the strife of just, making sure she's comfortable, she's not happy with this bed because it's hurting her back, I buy a brand new king-size bed, doing all the things that I could do, working two full-time jobs, and still trying to keep her happy. And then go through all that, man, only to get the end result that I'm fighting with her parents and her through these kids. I can't put a price on it. I don't think I know a man that went through this.
No.
But what if y'all were having marital problems? Do y'all think that having another child could possibly bring you closer together?
No.
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 That's not the answer. That's the wrong way to look at it.
Nah. I don't think that. I think that is something that works out between the two. I don't think the kids got nothing to do with that. You know, the kids would. Could be an extension of it, but I don't think it could be a support system.
So that would just compound the problem.
Let me revise a little bit. What if you're having marital problems due to the fact that you're not allowing the other spouse to have a child? That you're not supporting the fact that your spouse wants to have another child or a child, period. Will having a child then be a healthy suggestion?
Yes.
What? No.
Well, I think I can speak on that firsthand experience. And it's funny. It's so funny that Tony brought that up because
It was by design.
Thank you, brother. But, I mean, literally, that's like, yeah, get out of my kitchen. You're literally sitting in here. But, I mean, literally, that's what happened to me. You know, we had two kids, and I just said, you know, a few minutes ago, I was just joking around. I wasn't, you know, I hadn't had the doctor on speed dial yet. But, you know, literally, I was like, yeah, I'm done, you know. And then, you know, the wife was like, nah, I want another one. And I was, and we went back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, eventually, you know, I was like, all right, you know, whatever. But I wasn't happy. You know, I didn't agree. I just basically settled. And it sounds funny that you would settle on bringing another life in the world, but this is what I was dealing with. I said, do I continue in this marriage with her resentment towards me for not agreeing to have a third child, or do I just suck it up and just handle it, you know? And because I know I can deal with my emotions, but can I deal with her emotions for the rest of our marriage? And it just, you know, I just settled. I was like, whatever you want, you know, we'll do it. We can do it tomorrow. You know, it ain't even no thing. Money, whether we got the money or not. But what happened was, you know, that eventually came out, and she was like, absolutely not. We're not going to have another child unless you were 100% on board. And in my situation, some things had to change at the household for me to get on board. My thing was that, like I said before, I couldn't maintain with the two I had, and, you know, my 4-year-old is not in school, so I'm just predicting, you know, the homework and all these other stuff, you know, that they're into. As she grows older, you know, I was sinking. And I was like, I'm drowning. I cannot do this the way. I said, you're going to have to cut back on some stuff, and you're going to have to get plugged back into the household. And thankfully, that's what she did, you know. So going forward, you know, she's not going to have all those extra responsibilities. She literally cut it. And I was like, some things going to have to change around here. And, you know, I got confirmation on that end, and a lot of other things happened in my life that I won't bore y'all with tonight, but I got confirmation, and now we're both on the same page. And I still ain't got the money for the child, but I'm not really worried about that. But, I mean, literally it did, to your question, T-Hawk, it did cause a lot of marital problems because it went back to, you know, what's going on here. And I originally agreed to have three children, but that was before I had to pay two daycare bills. And I was like, no three, you know, because, again, it's the quality of life. My kids are in different activities and everything, and I want them to continue to do that, not at the expense of, oh, I got to make the daycare payment for your little brother or sister, so you can't do that no more. You know, so I didn't want that. But, you know, again, it did cause strife in the marriage. But, you know, do y'all think that after the kids arrive, do you think men and women become unhappy in different ways? I mean, who would you think gets dissatisfied first, the man or the woman, after the kids arrive?
I will tell you my experience, and I think it would be the woman.
I was going to say that.
And the reason why is because the motherly responsibilities that automatically now she's got to deal with that she didn't have to deal with before. And we don't really like to get up all the wee hours in the morning with a crying baby. You know, and that's just me. Some guys do. You know, if you did, you know, good for you. But, you know, most guys will say, honey, you know, the kid's crying. Go in here and get the kid. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, get the bottles ready or whatever the case may be. But I think that because they have that new responsibility that we don't particularly give 100%, that they were the ones that would probably be more upset with us.
But you know what? I say bump it, especially if it's one of those things where they were the one that wanted this additional child, then be prepared for the responsibilities. I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Hardcore, brother.
Hardcore. Go ahead.
That's how I look at it, because, you know, Rod, you just gave your scenario and everything.
Yeah.
And basically what I took from that is you were willing to settle. Or compromise.
He settled.
Yeah, you were willing to settle because you would rather her deal with your emotions, which you would be able to control a little bit better, than you having to deal with hers, which you know she might not be able to control.
That's right.
Rough, man. You know what I mean? Like, to hear that play out, and I understand, to each their own, I'm not challenging your decision process. I'm just saying that that's rough. You know, that, wow, you know, I got to sit here now and say to myself, okay, you know what, she's going to be real aggressive and a bear to live with if I don't just essentially give in to this, because she's going to make my life kind of miserable unless I decide to go along with it, whereas I'm not going to make her life miserable. I'm going to just go ahead and, you know, be the bigger person and go along with it. That's rough. So fast forward to this last scenario that we're talking about. Then if we get another child and you been out of shape, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, short of cussing, F you. This is not where we are. I mean, because this is what you wanted. I caved and gave over here for this. Boom, this, and the other. This is where we are. You know what I'm saying? And you can't trip and be all deflated and been out of shape and all, you know, I mean, that doesn't make sense. I feel this is the part that I always struggle with on these calls. I understand that we're supposed to love these women, lead by example, these positive things. But, man, it's like they're able to flip the script and do whatever they want. We just got to just eat it. I'm going to be honest with you. That's BS to me. I don't get it. Because as I've said a million times, and I know I sound like the angry husband on the call every time.
You're real, brother. We love it. Go ahead.
I said it a million times. In every other facet of your life, somebody is not doing what they're supposed to do. You cutting ties. You shutting it down. You making a change. You moving. You getting a new one. You doing everything. But in this situation, it's just like, oh, man, I love her. I'm just going to be... And I'm going to be in love and just go along with it. And even when she's not happy with the decision that she forced me to make, I'm going to pick up the slack and I'm going to do this. That's BS, man.
Oh,
you make
word.
That choice and you make that decision. And I've talked to you candidly about my feelings and I've shared with you where I'm going to be with things. I mean, especially if we've had that discussion about expectations and what we're going to do. When you call an audible, that's not cool.
But
here's the thing, when you call an audible, you have to be...
Rodney called the audible on this one.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
He did.
He originally said three.
He's the one backed up on it.
That's right.
He backed up on it. But the fact is that what I heard, though, is that is rough. I'm not going to lie to you, Rodney. This is rough to swallow. That you said you would rather her deal with the way that you would approach it than you having to deal with her. That's wow. Wow.
me and you know my wife.
Yes, but Rodney, I understand what you're saying, but this is where I feel like a lot of times, man. This is just me. I love you. I've said it a million times. But, man, sometimes, man, it sounds like you just be settling, homes. you take the easy way out. And instead of going back and forth, it's like, I just don't get it. And I understand that, you know what, hey, you've experienced some things. You will overcome some obstacles and hurdles that are putting you in positive lights because you have been able to do it. I hopefully one day want to be able to do that. But right now in my life, you know, only being 4 years in and you 11, 12 years in, it doesn't make sense to me. Because I feel like what's happening is we've got to continue to just take a back seat. And I've always said it, that stupid saying, happy wife, happy life, is whack. It's whack.
It is whack.
I mean, I get it, fellas, and I'm sorry to go on this. Everybody always being patient with me when I get on here. I do appreciate it. Everybody that's in the chat room and actually on the call.
Yeah.
My point is, it's just rough. You know, when women do these things, and you're just supposed to sit there and be like, oh, okay, all right. You know who I feel like? I'm going to tell you. Every time I watch Charlie Brown and what's her name, Lucy pull the ball away from Charlie Brown, I have to turn the show off. That's how it is. I feel like that's what it is.
he continuously keeps going to kick this ball, and she keeps snatching it away. And she keeps going back. That's stupid. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I understand that in a marriage, there's compromise, there's giving, there's sharing, there's give and take, there's all these things. But when you call, if you call an audible, then you have to prepare for the outcome. We had the play call to run it up the middle, quarterback sneak. It was 1 yard. You calling a flat route, and it gets stopped, and we lose the game. Don't be mad. You audible.
And yeah, you're exactly right, because, I mean, when it comes to a child, it's really you can't compromise. You got to both agree, you know, to move forward. And originally, I say, you know what, like you said, I'd rather deal with my emotions than to deal with, quote-unquote, her wrath. Because, I mean, it was...
Did you say,
like,
did you
like,
use the word wrath?
I did.
Wow.
And resentment because, again, like you said, Tony, is that I originally agreed to 3. So I was the one pulling back, when, you know, all things considered. And, again, I said 3 before we even had the first one.
Gotcha.
You know, and we both come from a family of 2. You know, she got a brother, I got a brother. So, but I was like, yeah, 3 kids? Yeah. And then I start writing them daycare checks. And I'm like, I don't know about this, you know.
Okay. So, Mr. Head of Household.
Yes.
Mr. Coach of the team, Mr. CEO, who can say, okay, the plans have to change. Now we got to do something else because our original plan just is not going to work. Who has the right to make that call? You. And you've given a lot of examples on where your information is coming from. Your analysis is coming from. Okay, well, right now is not the time. You know what I'm saying? And now you're like, yeah, but still got to make her happy. You the man of the house. We can't have a baby right now. We good. You know, I'm the one in here taking care of these kids.
Right.
And now you're going to have another one for me to take care of? Nah. Dead that.
That's the way I look at it, too, is, I mean, she got the last 8 victories. Can you get one?
Can you get one? And
you
get
a
huge victory.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I understand that you'll say, well, I got a chance to get my own whip that I wanted loaded, blah, blah. Whatever, man. That's a vehicle. We're talking about something that's going to be longer than the life of a vehicle.
Yeah, and you paying the car note, so it's not like she paying it for you. You paying it.
Yeah, like I said, I love you to death, but I'm telling you, man, man, I don't even know. I don't even know how to put it into words. You the nice cat on this call. You the nice one.
Yeah.
Everything that I'm not doing, you are picking up the slack.
Yeah. You got to get gangster. Let me rub off on you for a little while. You got to get gangster.
Because I said so.
See, that's a because I said so moment. That's not a because, okay, you know, I know you wanted 3. I know I told you 3, and I know that's what's going to make you. No, she happy now with 2.
And the thing about it too, Rodney, is that I guess I look at it like this, and this is what I always say to my wife. The stuff that you brought to the forefront with regards to the planning and preparation, your ability to foresee, your ability to plan, the ability to budget, it's not like you're just doing it out of spite.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you actually worked the plan and you looked at it and you said, this might not provide us with the lifestyle and the ability that we like to be able to have and to be able to sustain, if not surpass where we are. So you're not pulling this out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I think is like, you know, you sit there and it's like everything that I've heard you say a million times on this call is always planned out. And like you said, I mean, you've got it, you're about saving, so you're not pulling this out of thin air. So if you didn't want to have another child right now or a year from now or 2 years from now or ever, you would rather back up just to not deal with the wrath, as you said, versus planning? I mean, you know what I mean?
And absolutely. And
wow.
That was,
wow, that's all I can say. I ain't got nothing else. I'm done.
And listen, that's what, you know, it didn't work out that way because we've been having this conversation. I mean, it's settled. Now it's a settled issue now. But, I mean, during...
Hold on. Is she pregnant?
No.
Then it ain't settled.
Yes.
But it's a settled issue. We've communicated. We've had the conversations. But during this process, we talked about separation. You know, we talked about how we're going to divide up the kids and the assets because it was getting too much. Once it came out that I was just like, you know what, whatever you want. You know, she was like, no, that's not going to work. And it just went downhill from there. And it all was rooted in, it wasn't rooted in the fact that we couldn't have three children, time-wise, financially-wise. I ain't really worried about that. It was rooted in the fact that it wasn't enough time in the day for me to take on, like y'all said, a third child. But mm-hmm. now that has changed, you know, where she is able to help me out. You know, and it sounds weird because it's usually the vice, you know, vice versa. But she's able to help me out. So, I mean,
because
when I... Huh?
She's got a sense of purpose, brother. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. She's got a sense of purpose. She wants to have this kid. So right now, it's like, okay, whatever. Because just like you saying, whatever you want, honey, I'm going to give you this child, whatever you want. She's like, okay, whatever it's going to take for you to give me this child, I'm going to give you what you want. It,
yeah.
You know.
But she needed to. It was stuff that she needed to do to get me to the point where I was on board and not on board just to make her happy. And that's what needed to. That's what did happen. That's what had to happen for us to move forward.
But see, what's scary about that is she did the things to get you on board. You didn't come
exactly.
to that on your own.
I haven't heard you say one time.
Me
either. Conversation that you're on board because you want to be on board.
I haven't heard it either.
I just said that. I said it's a settled issue now. I'm talking about before.
Of course it's a settled issue, but right now, I mean, it could be a settled issue. You know, I mean, the fact that, you know, you want steak dinner, but y'all having, you know, you only got chicken in the, you know, in the refrigerator, that's a settled issue. We eating chicken tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But it may not necessarily mean you wanted chicken. And the fact that I'm saying is you have never said, man, I'm excited to have this third child now. I'm glad my wife, you know, wanted to have a third child. No, I'm hearing compromise.
Right. And here's the thing. I want to say this, though. There's nothing wrong with it. This is what you and your wife are planning out. That's your household and that's your life. But with regard to this call and being able to talk about it as men, that's why I'm just taking the stance that I'm taking. Because, honestly, that's what I always hear a lot from a lot of men on this call is like, yeah, let's keep just giving in to them. I mean, how does that work? Because it's like serenity now, insanity later. So at some point, you're going to explode. And it's going to be when, hey, you know, we can't go on this family vacation, or we need to get this new minivan, or blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, Johnny can't get the baseball. I didn't want to have three kids. But that's how it works. I mean, it's going to come out somewhere. And if it doesn't, that means you're just eating yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, it happens in anything. Again, just look at any other aspect of your life. You make changes, you make adjustments. You compromise somewhat, but there's always so much compromising you do before you say, you know what, this job ain't for me. I've always had the resume tight. I'm out.
But
and I'm not saying that you got to divorce somebody or do anything like that, but
sure
when do you just say, yeah, you know, wow, you know, I've actually projected this one. I've actually had really good foresight. You've turned the finances over to me because you didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You actually seen the things that I've gotten prepared for. I'm not pulling this out of thin air. I'm actually using some logic on this, and we're very happy.
That's right.
It's not. Because here's the thing. It's not a need. It's a want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, like, I mean, do the Duggars need 22 kids? No, that means this ain't back in the days with Vikings and slavery or anything in that capacity. You don't need 22 kids to sustain you. You don't need that. That's a want. You want to keep going. So when you get to a certain point where you're just like, all right, you know what? We might be all right. Financially, this works out. Long-term projections, not just 5-10 years, 20 years from now when these cats is a small car every year for college, this works out.
Yeah. You had to go and get confirmations, and you had to do all this other thing, opposed to saying. And listen, I commend you for wanting to make your wife happy. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what it's all about. But at a certain point, you have to say, but what does Rodney really want?
Yep, I commend you too on that, man. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I just can't do it sometimes.
I
can
do it. I can do it.
But see, the point, I mean, you got to be happy. Because if you don't, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how happy another person is. If you ain't at that same level, at least at the minimum level of happiness that they're potentially going to be at, it's going to be screwed up.
But see, listen, I mean, if you listen to me on the call, I'm always happy.
That's the scary part, though, man. I never hear you. I'm going to be honest with you. I know this call has now gone right field, and it's probably all because of me. I've never heard you be on this junk and be upset and be on the opposite side. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I get off the call, and I'm like, man, this cat is killing me.
You and Tony, brother?
Yeah,
how in the world
can
everything be so pleasant and so lovely?
All right, look,
I'll
push you,
Pete. Hey, guys, 100%. You just got to think about it from that perspective. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Sometimes I want to strangle mine out. So where you don't get that? I don't see how that doesn't happen in your household. So yeah. I want to strangle mine.
But see, let me get this back on. This is a good chat, fellas. But, I mean, literally, it's a lot deeper. But, I mean, my point is, literally, like you said, you don't never hear me on here, this woman, I'm happy. I am happy.
Hold on a second. You just said not too long ago that you all were talking about separating and dividing things because of the issue of wanting another child and that you didn't want to do it.
Because
I
it wasn't right.
On that.
That's what I'm saying is that it wasn't right at that time. My wife still wanted to do all these extracurricular activities outside of the home and, you know, just leave me to, quote, unquote, just raise the kids or whatever. And, you know, she did her thing, but it was a lot of stuff that I had to pick up, which was normal. And then, like somebody said earlier, give me a third one. It wasn't right then, but now I was like, yo. It's some stuff, and see, I did man up, and I did say it's some stuff got to change around here if we're going to have a third child, because I don't mind having a third child, but you need to get your act together, and that's what needed to change. It wasn't just, I guess I'm going to just suck it up. It changed, because when she found out that I was just saying, whatever you want, honey, just make you happy, you know. She was like, no. What do I have to do? You know, what must I do to make? And I told her, I was like, we're going to have three kids. Yeah, you're going to have to relax some of that stuff. You're going to have to reduce some of your responsibilities at the job. And,
wait a minute. All right, so here's a monkey wrench.
Yeah.
I'm all about audibles, because you know they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
So you agreed to all this. She agreed to it in theory. Y'all get into it. You got three children, and she calls it audible. She's still going back to doing the things that she wants to do, picking up a little responsibilities. What happens then?
No, that's not going to happen. But because we had these conversations, and trust me, they were not pleasant. Because we had these conversations, I genuinely believe that she knows where I was coming from. And she knows that it's not something where she could just, can you watch the baby? You know, I've got to do this or do that. I got to run here, run there. That's not
going to
happen.
Not negating that. There's a lot of brothers on the call that genuinely believe a whole lot of things about first wives, second wives, maybe even third wives. But all I'm saying to you is, if it changes, where will you be with regards to your mindset for this third child, your wife, and your overall situation? Because here's the thing. Again, they call audibles, and as we talked about on this call, with regards to, you know, stuff comes up. Will you compromise then too? What will you do? Because
he's got no choice but to compromise at that point. Y'all got three kids.
We're
going to
put the baby back.
What's that?
He's got three kids because now they're your kids. I mean, you know, that's your new baby. So, okay, regardless, you in with both feet.
Yeah, and the conversation would have to be had. I mean, that's the only thing, like Tony said. I mean, what you gonna do? Put the kid on the street? You know, be like, all right, number three, you gotta go. You know, I mean, literally, you got to work it out. Be like, hey, I know we agreed that you're going to be picking up your weight or whatever, or doing this or doing that, or not doing this or doing that. You're slipping. And you got to have the conversation.
The answer to that question, man, it still goes back to the vows you took before you ever even had kids, if you're in this for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and all that jazz. And sometimes some of the vows that they ought to put in there is for telling the truth or not telling the truth, for biting off more than you can chew or not biting off more than you can chew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious because they do it, and then that is something that we do. They'll do something, and we have to pick up the slack. But likewise, sometimes, you know, we get ourselves into jams, and if you have a good woman, which, you know, I think that, you know, our host does, she jumps right in there, and she's got his back. So when they have this conversation, if she were to, as you say, pull an audible and try to change up stuff later on, first thing and foremost is that he can hold her accountable to what she said before. And then they'll probably have a dialogue about it, and if they have to change their plan in some way, they'll probably just adjust and go with the flow. But, you know, the kid is a kid, and, I mean, any of us, if we have a kid and they're in the house and we've had this child, we love that child.
Mm-hmm.
So the child is not to blame. It's not the child's fault. Nothing changes as far as the kid's concerned. Everybody's got to pull together. If she don't want to pull together, then, you know, then that's when people usually start walking out of marriages and stuff like that, which is just really, you know, it's asinine. But
yeah, and what
I think that as far as this hypothetical situation is concerned, he knows his wife and the conversations that they had better than what he's able to tell us and better than we know.
Sure.
And what he's saying is that if she were to change her mind about it later, they're going to have the same kind of dialogue and what I like to call intense fellowship.
Yeah, you're exactly right, brother.
And they'll come to an adult decision about how to handle it.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. But what percentage of couples do y'all think see the quality of their relationship drop within the first 3 years after the birth of a child? What percentage of couples see the quality of their relationship drop within the first 3 years after the birth of the child?
38.
That ain't high enough. Yeah. That ain't high enough. It's actually 2/3, 67%.
What is it that creates the standard of quality for the relationship? What are the criteria?
Probably time with each other.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, with your time, man, with your time with your spouse, man, just dwindles. And I said it before on a call. I love my child to death. To death and to life. That's a bad word. To life. But the fact is that I miss the days when it was just, you know, like, hey, you want to go to ice cream? Let's go get it.
Yeah.
That child is not, you know, is a baby. We can't just dip. You know, we got to take our child with us, you know, or get a sitter. But I miss those times where it was just us. You know, I also miss the time, you know, different points where I was just like, man, you know, there's a million reasons and explanations why something can't be done, and it's all about the baby.
Yeah, because in reality, conflicts increase with the birth of a child or having children in general. I think everybody knows that because, like you said, there's little time for adult conversation, little time for sex. You know, emotional distance can develop.
Yeah, before you know, you two roommates.
Exactly.
Let me say one thing, fellas.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here. Right, and I'm going back over my whole scenario, but I'm listening to fellas talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a topic that we had a great time on, man, about maybe, I don't know, maybe the last two times that we had talked on the Hair Household. I might have missed last week, so maybe about 3 weeks ago. But we were talking about how we as men, I think the topic was some about the manhood. But we were talking about how we do things as men, and then we try to blame it on our spouse, but we allow certain things to happen in our life. And then we want to fall back and wonder why the woman is looking at us like the way we do, because we allow them to get away with it. And the more we allow them to get away with certain things, then it gets worse and worse. And then we look back like a crash dummy, like, why is these things happening to us? Do you remember this topic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be my whole theory.
come back to that because I'm sitting back listening to all of us talking, but I'm actually just analyzing stuff that we're talking about, but then looking back over my life. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how could it had, you know, been a little bit better with the things. And then I was telling myself, yeah, even in the unhappy times of what I was going through, I allowed these things because at the time that I was laying my foot down and I was angry about the things that were happening, okay, when it comes to my children, I'm saying to myself, I'm sitting back looking, and I'm like, well, what about the times that, okay, I laid my foot down, but then I went on and catered to her feelings and then, like, basically just let her let this thing go and blow off, and we're running around the house, just me and her together, but we don't have these kids, and we're having all this ball, playing hide and go seek, running around the house, doing what we want to do. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
But these were the times that I was allowing this stuff to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And should I be mad at her, or should I be mad at me?
Exactly. Serenity now, and sanity later. And it's your own fault.
Yeah. Well, and you were trying to have laying down your foot.
Call yourself laying down your foot. Trying to lay down your foot. You know, showing that you're unhappy because these things are not taking place the way you want them to. But
at the same time, you was enjoying your freedom with your wife.
And then the kids. I wanted them there. Okay, I wanted them real bad. So then when I go back to that feeling, who could I blame? Because I allowed you to step into my comfort zone. You see what I'm saying? And I'm letting you have your fun with me having our fun. But really, I can't really put all the blame on you now, even though I was angry with you and I was angry with your family. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We can, because what I'm saying is that I'm looking at a picture over my life and I'm listening to all the guys talking. And I guess my whole point to what I'm saying is that, you know, when you lay down your foot, I think a lot of marriages can be saved if you lay down your foot and you stick with it. Yeah. You don't get outside of that comfort zone. You stick with it until you see the results. If you don't stick with it, you know, then you're going to always have problems. Maybe not today. Maybe you'll go back into having a great time today, but you'll have those same problems coming up, like, real soon. I'm sure they're going to knock right back on the door again, unless you solve those things as you go.
So basically, when you think
about it, honestly, it's like, all right, again, Rodney, not to keep coming towards your direction, but you have definitely always expressed your ability to budget, to plan and do those things, and you stick with the plan, which then allows y'all to reap the benefits, whatever it may be, a family trip, getting a new whip, child being and able to take piano lessons and ballet, whatever it may be. So now you take on a third child because you don't want to deal with a wrath, not death, not foreclosure on your home, a wrath. And I'm not saying that wrath isn't as aggressive as those things, because it can be. But the fact is that if you put your foot down, what would it take away from your plan? Your plans have always
respect. It'll accomplish respect.
Right, and your plans have always paid dividends. It's gotten you there. The successes you had, the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know how many times you got on the call after you told us the first time, but you told us that you was debt free, like about 15 weeks in a row.
Yes.
And you know what? I know that because I was like, man, he's saying this over and over. But the fact is that because you worked a plan and it worked, and you have foresight and you have vision, and you put your foot down, and y'all know it's not in the budget. We need to call and talk to each other if it's over $25. And now what you're saying is, I just don't want to feel a wrath, so I'm going to go ahead and be 100% on board.
And it's actually a little deeper than that, because you're exactly right. Everything was, you know, planned to the T, budgeted. You know, before I bought my truck in December, I was out of debt outside of my mortgage. I'll say that for a 25th time. But, I mean, literally, it was a lot deeper than that for me, and I'm glad you pointed it out, because before, I was leaning to my own devices, my own understanding. And now with this one, you know, it's like God has said, you need to depend on me. You're depending on, you know, your direct deposits coming in and, you know, all of these things. Everything is clicking, clicking, clicking. Like, in some respects, I feel like that I set all this up. You know, I got debt free all by myself. And it took some of the shine from where the shine needed to be, you know, and not purposely, just subconsciously.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Not at all. Not at all. I've been on the phone with you for a long time. And
I'm lost.
Let me tell you why. Because another thing that you've also said is that you tithe on the gross and not the net.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So I already know that you've been on top of your game and you've been giving the Lord his due. That's just
right.
Who you are.
Yep.
So to say that you've been doing it on your own accomplishments, on your name, I don't agree with that. I think that you've been doing it the same way for a long time. And don't come now and say, okay, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to depend on him. You've been depending on him from the beginning, and he's come through 100% of the time, correct?
I have, but it was a piece of me, I tell you nothing but the truth. It was a piece of me, a part of me that I had the system set up. You know, I can't afford a, you know, second child right now. I was literally not depending on him to make a way. And that's what I'm saying is that, yes, I budgeted, I tithed off my gross, all of that stuff. I was out of debt, all of that stuff. But there was a small piece of me that was really like, yeah, you know, I got this thing. You know, I'm working it out. You know, and a third child will wreck my plan.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a piece of all of us. We know where we get it from. We know where it's coming from, who is the true provider. We know that part. But what I'm saying is there's a way that you had to get to this point. And you had to get to this point by being obedient and just being faithful, right or wrong.
Exactly. But now it's time for me to go a little higher.
Who says who?
Says God.
Says your wife.
No, she was just a part of the plan because literally, as I told you in the first hour, I don't have the money for a third child. I do not. But yet,
okay.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not
okay.
concerned about it. And that's where, you know, yes, just like you say, I'm, you know, to a point where a lot of stuff, you know, I'm spiritually grounded, spiritually rooted in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
But I need to go a little higher. God said I need to go a little higher. And the whole part is, I tell you this funny story real quick, is that I had a Honda Accord, and my Honda Accord broke. The transmission was messed up. You know, I had it about 10 years, and I just run it ragged. And I knew that eventually I was going to have to get a new car, but I had not planned to get a new car. And it actually broke like a week before Christmas or whatever. But as I said, I was out of debt, so I could easily slide a car payment in there. You know, it was, you know, perfect timing. But the whole time in my marriage is that me and my wife were on one accord. And literally, I made some moves, and I got the Pilot. And what God was telling me is that, you know, before, yes, I agree that, you know, you and your wife, y'all been on one accord. But you have to remember, I am the Pilot.
Hold on. You said one accord, one Honda Accord?
Exactly. It was that was the message, because I went from a Honda Accord to a Honda Pilot. And that's
okay.
what the message that God was sending me is that you always, everything, this was the only thing that we had, you know, just like a major deal with this third child that we were not on one accord. And it just wasn't working out. No way, no how. We just weren't on one accord. But everything up until this point, everything was, you know, go to the wife, we agree, boom, 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 we do it, done. But this one, we were not on one accord. But God had to show me that the transmission was fake. The message he was trying to send me, because he sent me a lot of signs, and, you know, he sent me, and I just wasn't receiving. So, and you look up transmission, it's about sending and receiving a message. So through my transmission breaking on my Accord, and then I upgraded to the Pilot, the Honda Pilot, he was basically saying that I am the Pilot. Forget that one Accord. Forget that stuff. You got to remember that I am the pilot.
So let me ask you a question. What message should I have gotten when my fuel pump went out of my car?
I don't know. You have to talk to God about that. I'm telling you what God told me. And it was so much stuff that happened, you know, literally about how God was going to show me. He reminded me that he was a provider, not who pays me every 2 weeks.
I got you.
And
I'm going to tell you the message that I got when my fuel pump went out. Fix the fuel pump, because buying a new vehicle is creating more unneeded debt.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, everybody can get certain things, right? But the whole baby thing, I think that, again, I haven't heard you embrace it to turn it into one of your wants.
And you're right.
So, I mean,
that's right.
And
you know why? And you're exactly right. Because I don't have the money. And that's what I'm saying, is that I don't have the money. So I am a little apprehensive. You know, honestly, I am a little like, God, are you gonna? I know he's going to do it, but I'm human. You know, but again, I'm stepping out there. I'm trying. I'm like, yo, I don't really worry about it. Trust me, I'm not losing any sleep about it. But I tell you honestly, I do not have the money. But I know that he's going to make a way. But that's why, you know, I am a little apprehensive. Now, that's not going to stop me from moving forward. You know, because I know I gotta step out there. He's, you know, written it in the sky. It is what it is. Talk to the wife. And I absolutely know that this is the direction we should go, and that he is going to make a way. I don't know how, but that's what I have. I got to step out there to see it, because before, I'm like, well, I know I get paid next week. I know she get paid next week. I know we can do this. We can bump this. We can do that. Everything was clicking in my little system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to have to upset your system, because you're too dependent on, you know, what you got going on down there. You got a nice little system, Rodney. I know, you know, you're doing your thing, but you're going to have to get back more dependent on me, you know, even though you're doing some of the right things. But you're exactly right. Exactly.
Rodney, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So now, with all that being said, and I'm just curious.
Sure.
Do you think that it's God's will for you to have a third child, or is it merely based on your wife's will?
I think it's God's will, because God sent me the message. And
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, because God sent me the message. Now, the thing about it, fellas, y'all got to realize, sometimes he sends our wife a message before us or through them.
What?
You know, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
my wife has definitely enlightened me on some stuff where I was, you know, like, what? Nah, that ain't right. And then I come back around like, yeah, actually, you were right. And I told the story about my job situation, that I told y'all that before I had two job offers. And the one that was, listen to this, the one that was paying less money but was closer to home, and this was in between we were thinking on having, we only had one child, but it was closer to home, and I knew we were going to have a second one. I was like, and I know my role in the household, I was like, look, honey, I need to be able to be closer to home. You know, I know it pays less, but, you know, I need to be closer to home because we about to have two kids, and I know I got to do a lot around the house with the kids. But here's what happened. When I pitched her another job, I've been traveling all across the country. You know, I've been in Canada, you know, just all across the country, and I'd be gone further and longer. You know, and it was rough with just one kid and with her being a teacher and everything, but I knew it was going to be rough with two kids. But every time when we were going through the process, it was about 5 years ago, she said, you should take the job that's going to take you around the country. And long story short, that job that I was trying to get, that I was actually declined for, they actually chose somebody with less experience than me. That job doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh.
And the job I'm in now, like I said, I've been traveling all across the country on the company's dime, and I've been to places I would never go otherwise but for work. You know, I ain't got, you know, I got two kids, so I can't be traveling all across the country like that, you know. But literally, from day one, she always said, you should take that job.
Yeah,
and I was like, nah.
Nobody's disputing the fact that you got a good, great, God-given wife. We know that. That's fine. But, you know, all things are possible to Christ. All things.
Yep.
And we know this. So I don't want to get confused with the fact that, okay, this one thing, you know, and it may be, like you said, you may have gotten confirmation. I'm not disputing that. But all things are possible. So it's not like, okay, well, before it wasn't possible. It was always possible for you to have three children. Always. Because he was going to make a way regardless.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? But for you to delay and say, no, it's not what we want. We can't afford it. I mean, you got to pay attention to those thoughts because, you know, that's how you really feel. That's
but
the
that
way
was
I see
doubt.
It.
But that was, like you just said, that was me doubting God. You know, and what he could do, because like you said, all things are possible. But I didn't think that way. I was like, yeah, I know all things are possible, but not this. But now I think that it was, and again, it's about, I've got to take it up a notch. You know,
okay.
God is just, you know, taking me up another notch. And it's all about growth because, and I even, it's funny you say that because I literally, my life is great. Y'all here, you know, y'all here on these calls.
What if
I mean,
she wants one more? What you gonna say? What if she says, okay, now we got another girl. I haven't got a boy yet. We gotta go to the well again. Let's get one more. What if it's gonna be four?
Well, she wants a boy, and I think we're gonna have another girl, and there'll be three girls. But I mean, literally, I say this right now. I say no, absolutely not. But I mean, I have to cross that bridge, you know, when I get there.
Okay.
But right now, you know, and that's definitely been the conversation, you know, that it's like, are you going to want four or five? And she's like, I don't know. You know, I might want four. And I'm like, no. I'm just getting that out of her head now. But, you know, right now I would say no, absolutely not. This ain't going to work. And no. But, you know, I definitely cross that bridge, you know, when I get there. But that's a great question. That's a great question. But let me bring this Let me bring this on down here. This is great chat, brother. I told y'all this is on my street. But Peyton brought up something about pre-baby counseling. Has anybody ever heard of pre-baby counseling?
That's anybody? A good idea.
Yeah, it's actually
sure
a real thing.
I'm pretty sure there's such a thing.
It is, and it's all about, you know, what we're talking about, divvying up the baby-related responsibilities,
yep,
money issues, expectations for sex, social lives, and it teaches relationship skills alongside childbirth education classes.
See, everybody don't sign up for those, though. Everybody take the like I said, they take the other classes.
Exactly.
People think they got that on the wraps. It's almost like, again, you know, I'm all for the internship for wives. It might need to be an internship for bringing a baby in.
Yeah,
it should be.
And it's not just, oh, let me babysit your child for a day and, oh, I've got this. No. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, no internship is a day. That's shadowing.
Yeah, because honestly, people spend more time decorating the nursery than preparing the marriage for the arrival of the baby.
For sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I mean, again, people spend more time preparing for a wedding.
Yep. Then the marriage. Say that.
Marriage get here, it's just like the baby get here. Okay, what do we do now? We done spent $20,000 on a wedding, and now you were talking about what do we do now?
But I mean, did y'all foresee how much work having a baby or a child was going to be? I mean, did you really see that, oh, this is going to be, or did it kind of take you by surprise?
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think it really took me by surprise because I think all of my life I've known that things take work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it all depends on how you were brought up and the things and how you got things or accomplished things or how things were provided for you. There was nothing easy about anything that I've accomplished. You know, I've had to work and still have to work. So it's like, why would this be any different? I mean, you just think about how you develop in life. Things don't get easier as you get older. Things don't get easier with the more responsibilities you take on. They get more complex. Now, it doesn't mean that it might get harder, but it definitely gets more complex, which requires you to think a little bit more, be a little bit more strategic, you know, play chess instead of checkers, whatever it may be, whatever way you want to see it. So it's like,
for me personally, I never looked at it as like, oh, man, having a child is going to be easy. I think what happens is that, like I said, sometimes for women, it's all the things that surround it. It's the lights, camera, but they forget the action.
Wow.
Yeah,
let me ask you this. Go ahead.
I got it. Me being the father to be in the group, and I need y'all to be straight up with me, because when a lot of y'all know the situation that happened with me and my wife when we had the brief separation.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a month or so later, you know, she was pregnant. And either my homies are lying to me or something, because they're all like, man, you know, child is great. It's going to help the marriage. And I'm like, cool. But now, when my wife first told me, when she first called me in the bathroom and showed me the pregnancy test, of course I was happy, like, wow, you know, wow. My second thought, however, was we ain't even got our stuff straight yet.
Yeah.
Wow. But at that point, you know, I couldn't suck it back in, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I mean, really. It almost burdened me for a while, because I'm like, we're just now, you know, getting back to a place that, in other words, you know, we're just now beginning to build our marriage back up.
Yeah.
And now we can start a construction on something else. You see what I'm saying? So, and, you know, and it scared me, because I was like, is the child really going to make this better? I mean, now, we didn't plan on a kid, you know, but, you know, when I got back home, we was getting it in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just happened. But so now my thing is, now that we've kind of gotten over the excitement of, you know, ooh, we're going to have a baby, I'm really thinking, like, you know, am I going to bring a child into some dilemma that we haven't even really dealt with fully yet? You see what I'm saying? I mean, that just really, so I just need some help with that, because, you know, it's 9 months is not going to, you know, fix. I mean, we got some major salvaging to do. So I guess my question is, you know, in all reality, is it going to make it better? Or, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is it going to make it worse? Because my wife, I cannot tell you the amount of times me and my wife been laying in the bed, and this is, you know, after we find out. She says, you're not going to pay me no attention once this child is born. And she's dead serious. And it really bothers her. Now, I don't know if it's the emotion or whatever, but she said it well over 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
You're not gonna pay me no attention once the child is born, because she knows, you know, how I am, like with my nieces and nephews. I mean, I'm just, and I think that really troubles her.
Yeah, it's usually the opposite. You know, usually the wife doesn't pay any attention to the husband after the child is born. But, you know, I would say this, and my brother Peyton says it all the time, you know, it's how you respond versus how you react. And,
right,
you know, granted, you know, your situation is unique, as all of our situations are, but this is your lot, as they say, and you have to deal with it, and it's not going to be easy. And I think that you probably heard, and you definitely heard my story, but you definitely see how difficult it can be just, you know, bringing that extra person into the fold. So
right.
I think that the good thing is that if you acknowledge that up front, like, okay, like Peyton said, this, you know, raising a child ain't going to be easy. It's work. It's this. It's a lot of things. That if you acknowledge that, you know, and definitely keep the marriage first, because your wife came before the child, period.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. always got to be like that way. So don't let her, you know, even though she's saying those things, and some of that is emotions, but some of it might be her looking at you at, you know, interact with your nieces and nephews or whatever the case may be, but don't, you know, don't let her, you know, play second fiddle to y'all's child. You know, keep her number one, you know, of course, right under God, but you have to make sure that you don't switch her around and put the child above her in no way, shape, or form.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, I think it's not going to be easy, and I'm thankful that you're on here because I'm sure you've heard a lot of stuff, you know, about how this thing is rough. I mean,
right.
It's rough, and, you know, just acknowledge the fact that y'all still going to be working through your issues, and it's going to be that much more difficult that she's pregnant and emotional and all this kind of stuff because, I know when my wife was pregnant, you drop a piece of rice on the floor during the first trimester. You better pick that rice up. What is that? I mean, just going off. And then sometimes I'd be like, man, I don't want to go home. I mean, she was like crazy.
Yeah.
But just know that fact. I know some of the other brothers can help you, but, you know, once you know that fact that it's not going to be easy, yes, y'all still got stuff to iron out. You know, y'all would have had that anyway, but this just, it does complicate matters a little bit, but you are head of household, so we know you're going to be all right, but I'm sure the other brothers can help me out and help articulate my point or something to that matter, but
yeah,
that's my piece.
I will say that it can, having a child can bring you closer together. It's not totally out of the question. Even with the turmoil that you've been dealing with, it can bring you closer together. But like Rodney said, it all depends on how you play that card.
Right.
All depends on how you handle it, you know what I mean? And put her, you got to keep her first. You have to make sure she's okay before you make sure the child is okay. You know, you make sure that she's happy before you know. You just can't make it, even though your heart may be with the child first. And I understand that because that's just our instinct, is our heart's going to be with the child. Because when my first marriage, my heart was always with my children first, my girls first, before the mother. And she would complain. I never heard her complaining. I mean, she said it, but I wasn't listening. I was like, whatever, I got to take care of my kids, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You're a grown woman. You go take care of yourself. That's how I felt. You know what I mean? I'm like, you got a job, they don't have a job. You got money, they don't have money. So I got to take care of them. They need their nails done, their hair done. I got to make sure she said, but why am I not getting my hair? I said, you got a job, go get your hair and your nails done. I said, but I got to take care of these kids. But I didn't realize that it should have been her, and then the both of us go take care of the kids. You see what I'm saying? I took all that concentration. I mean, I took all that responsibility on my own without doing it as a team. So the whole team thing is what's going to make that, make you all get closer after you have the child, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to make up your mind, like, okay, I'm gonna get up when the baby cries. I'm gonna split that response. I'm gonna get the bottles ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna meet her halfway. As long as you meet her halfway, you are in the running. Just meet her halfway. Don't have her come to you and say, man, you know, we had this kid together, and I feel like I'm alone in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got to remind her, too. I'll say this, too, just to piggyback on that. She's talking about you going to, you know, not pay any attention to her. Just remind her that you came before the child.
Yep.
And that, I mean, like I said, that's most commonly what happens is that. And me and my wife had this conversation, and she literally was telling me that, you know, well, the child has needs and, you know, and it's an infant, and, you know, like Tony was saying, you know, you're an adult. You know, you'll be all right.
You'll be
all
right?
I'm like, no, I'm not all right. I was here before this child.
But
you need to pay me some attention.
Would that not be misconstrued as selfishness, though?
No, because that's the order. That's the order. You and her came before the child.
Yeah.
So, yes, children has needs. Don't get me wrong. You know,
yeah,
if the baby's crying, you can't be like, I'm trying to get it in. You know what I'm saying? The baby needs to be
right.
Quiet. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that absolutely there's some cases where the baby's going to take priority, but never should the baby take your spot on either side.
On either side.
Good wisdom.
Yeah, and that, and just that little bit right there, trust me, will help so much, tremendous. And you don't have to do much. It's not like we're telling you to go change your whole game.
Yep.
No, just be a little bit more considerate of what she's getting ready to go through. Because she's getting ready to go through that body change. They're getting ready to gain weight. They're getting ready to feel unattractive, emotional, all that's coming. And what they're doing is they're watching to see how you are going to react. What kind of man are you going to be while they're going through this metamorphosis? You see what I'm saying? Just like you, the same thing. If you're going through, like, if you lose your job or you got a health issue, some prostate issues, high blood, whatever it is, you know, you got to change your diet, you're watching to see how they're going to react to your new situation, if they're going to be a trooper or not, because that's what's going to dictate the rest of your life with this person.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that definitely changed after they have a baby. They don't feel sexy anymore. You can be
don't
like,
feel
girl,
sexy anymore.
You so sexy. And they be like, nope,
yeah.
I don't believe you. I don't believe
you.
Then they start crying. And you're like, what in the world?
And you know what? I think you can hit it up to the eighth month. I don't know, but you got to keep doing that. Don't stop. Be like, oh, I'm gonna hurt the baby. You ain't gonna hurt the baby. You got to keep doing that because they're gonna wanna, you know. Pregnant women get horny. Period.
Say that. And sometimes the doctor, you know, if she's past her time, like, yeah, go home and handle that. We need to get the baby moving.
Yeah.
You know, so you can hit it right on up to,
right on up to, oh, it's 4 o'clock. Is your water broke?
Y'all boys, wild. But I got two more questions, then I got to shut this down, then I got a comment for y'all. So don't go nowhere. But this is great. But comparing, you know, we talked about pre-baby counseling, comparing the parents that had pre-baby counseling to the parents that did not have it, which group do you think had the higher rate of divorce? The parents that had pre-baby counseling or the parents that didn't have pre-baby counseling? Which one, which couple, which group do you think had the higher rate of divorce?
I think you automatically assume that the parents that did not have it.
Right. Anybody else? Thoughts? Anybody else?
Mm-mm.
No thoughts?
Now, I have to agree with my man. I think you would just assume if they're doing if they're rating the two, that one that didn't go to premarital baby care counseling would be the ones that end up doing bad and raping the baby, I guess.
Yeah, actually, it's the same rate for both.
Yeah.
Wow. Same rate for both. Whether you had the pre-baby or didn't have the pre-baby, don't matter. The rate for divorce was the same. Why do y'all think that is?
I think because they probably had issues before baby even came in the picture that were undealt with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And in some churches, the pastor won't even perform a marriage ceremony unless the couple submits to a series of counseling sessions. So he won't do the marriage. You know, y'all talk about they had issues before the baby. I'm talking about pastors that won't even perform the marriage ceremony unless they go through counseling.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
When I was getting ready to get married to my wife now, we went to our pastor, Pastor Warren, and we spent 3 hours with him one night just to get premarital counseling. And he said the fact that I had been married with 2 children and that she hadn't been married, but she has one child, and we have a little bit of an age difference. He said that statistically we were going to fail.
The pastor told you that.
Pastor told. He said statistically you all are going to fail because of the background difference. You know, and but then he went to say that he doesn't think that we're going to fail because of the fact that we were sitting there getting premarital counseling, trying to figure out what we need to do prior to going in.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? He said, statistically, you would fail, but the fact that you're here spending 3 hours trying to find out the do's and the don'ts is telling me that you all are in it to win it. So I don't think that you all will fail.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, and we're still kicking it. and look, failure's not even on my street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's
you know
good.
What I'm saying? So
that's a good word.
So to your question, yeah, I mean, the ones that don't get the counseling, you know, it's like anything else, you know. You got to work at it. You got to go the extra yard.
Yeah. Final question, fellas, then the conclusion, and I got a comment, too. But final question, what would you suggest to effectively manage the quality of your marriage once the kids arrive? That's the last question. What would you suggest to effectively manage the quality of your marriage once the kids arrive?
I would take, you know, Tony's and Rodney's advice, which was, you know,
we've answered that question.
Yeah, prioritizing. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And equal time being spent.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my answer.
I agree with that.
Good words. Anybody else?
I think the key to it is you just got to stay true to yourself in a lot of ways. And what I mean by that is it sounds negative, but you just got to be open and honest. You got to be able to talk about things. You can't shy away from conflict because conflict means you care. I mean, that's the honest truth.
Yep.
Because when I don't care, I can give a crap about conflict. That means I'm not saying nothing. I'm going that way. I'm not even going to give it any energy. But when I do care, which usually comes across as conflict or disagreement, it means that I actually have something to say, and I'd really like to work this out. So I say you got to be true to yourself, man. You just got to be able to speak your mind. Because honestly, you speaking your mind, hopefully, is one of the things that your spouse really loves the most about you.
Yeah, that's good words. And the most important part is to try to get that stuff done on the front end rather than on the back end, you know, when you got kids running around. I mean, before, it's ideal. Unfortunately, you know, not all of us have that or have had that, but we know that that is key because premarital counseling based upon sound biblical principles that outlines the roles of the husband and wife as they relate to each other and to their prospective children. But marital counseling should be in addition to the nurturing and godly wisdom the couple has hopefully received from their own parents, because parents are responsible before God to prepare children for adulthood, and that includes marriage, fellas. So premarital counseling is an excellent way to clear the misconceptions about the roles we are to play in marriage and distinguish between God's standards and those of the world. Therefore, it's crucial that the person or persons doing the premarital counseling are doctrinally solid, secure in their own marriage and family relationships, and in obedience to God's word so that he or she is equipped to impart God's viewpoint clearly and without equivocation. Solid biblical premarital counseling may very well be the difference between a couple that seeks to put God's principles first versus a marriage based on human viewpoints and worldly standards that put relationships in jeopardy. A prospective bride and groom should commit to a time of spiritual premarital counseling and agree to model their marriage after God's standards, and that will bring clarity to how each views the other in their oneness in the eyes of God. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. I got one more final comment for you, but thanks for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and next Tuesday's topic will be when you and your job get a divorce. Now, that's going to be good. When you and your job get a divorce, heavy stuff
For more information about our show, please feel free to visit our website, www.householdstress.com. That website, again, householdstress.com. But before we go to open mic, I want to take a brief moment to commend each and every one of you guys. Because today I got to thinking, we as head of households, we're like Navy SEALs. We're like Navy SEALs. I mean, listen, I did some research. Navy SEAL training is very rigorous. Y'all probably already know. It's one of the toughest special operations training programs in the world. But the dropout rate for SEAL classes is regularly 80%. SEAL training is brutal. It takes over 30 months to train a Navy SEAL to the point at which he will be ready for deployment. But the SEALs that emerge are ready to handle pretty much any task they could be called on to perform, including diving, combat swimming, navigation, demolitions, weapons, parachuting. The training pushes them to the limit both mentally and physically in order to weed out those who may not be able to successfully complete the demanding missions and operations with which SEALs are faced. The types of stresses they endure during what they call buzz training, they're the same stresses that they will endure as SEALs. And if they can't withstand it when lives aren't on the line, chances are they won't be able to withstand it when lives are at stake. So when you look in the mirror, do you ever realize how many lives are at stake if you don't man up? I mean, I'm talking generations, man. Generations. I mean, it's heavy. I was thinking about it. I was just like, fellas, I hope that each of you continuously try to remain in this elite group of head of households, just like the elite group of Navy SEALs. Because you don't know the task that you're going to have to face. But household stress, we try to prepare you for the potential of pitfalls.
Wow.
Just in case. And that's my word, fellas. That's my word.
Good word.
That's a good word, man.
Sorry.
Great call.
Yes, sir.